We interrupt this program to bring you the worst of the worst.
Welcome!
As we continue to celebrate independence, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Best in Show, the Independence Day edition. It's July 6th, 2008. You're hanging with us. Hanging and banging. My name is Keith. With me, as always, is my co-host, Christopher.
Hey, what's up? Christopher?
That's
the guy that my mom gets mad at sometimes.
Sometimes. With us, as always, again. With us, as always, again, to the left is Brian.
To the left, and when you're looking at your speakers, look to the left, and you'll see Brian. He's going to be performing executive production duties today.
We miss you, Robbie.
And returning from finding the Blair Witch, to the right is Frederick.
Yes, I was just.
That would be a good idea. Just put Brian in the left speaker. Is there some way just to get Brian in the left
speaker?
We'll
pan him over to the side. I think that could be a good idea. Yeah, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Best Show, bestshowradio.com. Well, we forgot to mention our buddy Rob Giggs, our executive producer, is not going to be here today because he looks at Best in Show kind of as a job on a tug. He does 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. So he came in for his first 2 weeks. He did a bang-up job, and we loved it. And now he left us to our own devices, and we remember that we don't know how to do a show since we started to forget the things that we do. That and no one shows up on time.
I don't know if I've ever heard job on a tug before. What does that mean?
Okay, I guess maybe I'm speaking. Maybe it doesn't make sense in any of the various chat rooms as I say it. But I've had multiple friends who've worked on tugboats, who've worked on a boat, and they've worked on the tug. And when you work on a tug, you go out for 2 weeks, and then you're away from your whole life for 2 weeks working, and then you come home for 2 weeks. Or you do a month on, month off, 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, something like that. Tugboat, basically any sort of boating job that you do that. I guess other than like the Deadliest Catch guys who go on for like 6 months straight and then come home, hopefully.
What do they do, those Deadliest Catch guys?
Oh, they catch the most delicious food in the world, crab. Ooh. Crab. Giant Alaskan crabs.
They catch little monsters and eat them?
I had a delicious shrimp dip 2 days ago that had no shrimp in it. It was made with crab, and it was delightful.
I requested
someone bring a crab dip to my house, and they brought a shrimp dip to my house, and they brought a crab dip instead.
What are you dipping it? Other crabs?
Yes, we take crab and dip it in crab. It's delicious.
Isn't that like incest?
I don't think they're sexing each other. I think they're just having a good time with each other. Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com here on Hear Us Talk, the thing you do with your ears. And the place to be. If you want us, you can get us on the hottest of all lines, 877-744-6405. If you want to get us on the instant messenger, I believe you can get me at Best in Show Chris. I think I finally resolved that. Do you see me on Best in Show Chris online?
I, in fact, do not.
Oh, well, then I guess you can't. Well, I'll work that out as time goes on. But you can get Best in Show Brian. You can get Best in Show Keith. And Best in Show Fred still has not been created yet.
As we speak, you can get Best in Show Keith now.
Can I guess why Keith was late this morning?
Yes, go for it.
I think Keith forgot the address.
I did forget the address, but luckily I checked the phone book out and I was able to find the place.
It was because of the long night last night that you had?
Yeah, it was because of the long night. I woke up today at 9:45 feeling like it was like 6:30 or something, and I was like, you know what?
I guess I should probably just get up because, you know, I need a couple hours to prep for the show. And then all of a sudden I was asleep again. And then the next thing I hear is my wife calling in sick to her job, and which was pre-planned anyway. But oh God, I hope her job's not listening.
Did you do that fake like sick talk? Like,
No. I hear her saying, "Yeah, I'm not coming in." And then, okay, bye, and hanging up.
I've got a bad case that I'm sleeping. So yeah. I can't make it in right now. I can't be bothered with this.
So why does she turn into Gladys Kravitz from Bewitched when she called? Wow. I can't be bothered with this.
Gladys Kravitz.
Yes, that was funny to me.
To all of our friends in 1963, enjoy the show. Enjoy the show today.
So anyway, I hear her calling into work, and then I'm like, wait, what the hell time is it? And I look up, and it's... It's now like 10 to 10, so it was only 10 minutes later, but I realized it was late, and then all of a sudden, I get up, and then I say, you know what, I have to lay down on my couch for a second, and then all of a sudden, I open up my eyes, and it's 25 to 11.
Oh boy. As much as I want to say, Keith, that's really shameful, and I think it's deplorable that you did that. I myself woke up at about... I guess about a quarter to nine, and then laid in bed for a little bit, and then got up, and instead of starting to clean the studio room as I do every other week, you know, to go through my normal routine to start the show, or to prepare to start the show, my newfound addiction, which has taken a firm hold on my life, captivated me again. And instead of being able to clean the room and start everything up, I actually had to go to my new Sony PSP, and I actually had to have three or four boxing matches this morning.
Well, nice. I mean, sometimes you gotta prep for the show.
I had to continue my career. By the way, I'd just like you guys to know, Jack Swade, otherwise known as Evil Ways, 44-0, 43 knockouts. I'm the undisputed heavyweight, undisputed light heavyweight, and unified division champion of the world. And I am now defending my title, trying to go undefeated for a career. Thank
you have
so
to have
much.
Something to fall back on.
Obviously. I mean, I'm going to go play some of those. I was so close to actually almost doing another like Pokemon Diaries, except based on my Fight Night career.
So I wish you had.
Fight Night Round 3 on PSP, the single most addictive game in the world other than the other games I'm addicted to.
What other games have you slammed on that bad boy since you've had it for a week now? What have you done with it?
I've boxed. I've done Fight Night Round 3. I have, don't get me wrong, I have a lot of games. Of course, legally procured them, went to a store and purchased hundreds of games.
MasterCard.
Right. But I have tons of games, and I'm playing none of them. I have a bunch of them on there, and I'm playing nothing but boxing. By the way, 44-0. Did I mention that? 44-0.
That is good.
I also had to go 11-1 before that as an amateur, before I could start my pro career. So I have now fought over 50 matches that generally last about 20 minutes each.
You've got focus. You've got drive.
It's so stupid. My favorite part is as you make more money in the game, you could purchase new tattoos. So that's my big...
How do you train your thumbs and fingers before the match?
I mean, personally, what I like to do is... Well, see, I want it to be understood. It's been pointed out in the past, due to my prowess at Facebook Wrestler, due to my prowess at World of Warcraft, I am what is referred to as a... Well, not so much Warcraft. That's silly talk. But a Facebook Wrestler, now at the PSP, I am what is referred to as a cyber athlete. And my thumbs are actually...
We called them nerds back in the day.
Well, yeah.
I think you still do.
Yeah, I don't know. I just play, and it's great. I don't know. You know what? It's stupid, and it's dumb, and it's pointless, and I love every minute of it.
Is your character white?
Obviously.
Okay. Just wondering.
I don't know why, obviously, but obviously, yes. I have a guy who I. The cool thing about the game. The cool thing about the game is I look around at you guys. Like, yeah, cool. I'm cool. But the cool thing about the game is I created myself to look like myself. I made myself be, you know, 270 pounds and 6'1", like, and fat and ugly, and made my face look as my face did. Then as you train and box and fight, you actually just naturally get in better shape. So I realized that instead of all the carbohydrate stuff or anything like that I've been dealing with, hey, stop drinking beer, hey, maybe I should start walking or running or biking, vegetarian, all of that doesn't make any sort of difference. What I need to do is just become a pro boxer, and in, you know, 20 to 25 years, I'll be in good shape.
Dude, I bet you if you did 10 minutes of jumping rope a day, just 10 minutes and jump rope.
I will never do anything that does that sort of impact to my knees, because when I started running, if you recall...
The big swell up of 07, you mean?
Yeah, after running for 1 week, my tender little boy knees were not used to a, I don't know, 255 pounds bouncing on top of those. If you figure it's 15 pounds below it, give or take, right? 255 pounds just bouncing on those knees over and over again. I don't have shock absorbers for legs. If I wrap my knees in springs, maybe then that's the route I could
go. You're talking about the pothole disaster on Staten Island of yes. Fall 2008, right?
That's exactly.
Well, good for you. Good for you, Chris.
Oh, my God. Someone's asking me if my buddy is playing for me right now. Yes, someone is leveling me up right now in my boxing career.
Wow, that'd be nice. You know, I actually have been taking to – I finally cracked the monster Bible book that is Grand Theft Auto 4. Haven't really invested too much time in it, but I find myself watching television inside the game because their television shows are actually pretty friggin' good. And I was doing long...
Wait, you can actually sit in front of a TV and watch TV in a game?
Yes, yeah. Cool. And you can change channels, and the programming on there is pretty deep. Like, I'm right now, I think I'm just at the crappy non-cable hookup. But yeah, you can kind of look at it in different angles and close up to it and watch it, and the programming is great.
Wait, you have to read a book? You said you have a Bible for this?
No, I'm just saying that it's a monstrously large-sized game, and it's going to take forever to play this thing.
Oh, okay.
While I'm doing laundry or just kind of doing things in the background, I'll have the Grand Theft Auto TV going. So I'm in game and I bring my character over to the television, plop him down, and turn it on, and there. Now Brian goes and does work while it's going on in the background.
Does anyone ever feel guilty about the fact that they're spending a lot of time in front of a computer game or something like that?
No.
You never get that little guilty feeling. You look outside and the birds are chirping and the sun is shining.
Well, guys, we forgot. Camping Boy is here with us today. So how is the trail mix?
It's great.
Talk to us. Tell us about all the error of our ways as we're awful people that embrace technology instead of crapping in a hole next to a tree.
I'm just wondering if the feeling ever pops up when you're playing the game. That's all.
I feel sometimes like I'm neglecting my wife, but then I don't really play during the days.
He gets over that.
No. Well, in a minute. During the days, I really don't play very often because, you know, if my daughter's awake and I'm home, I'm going to be hanging with my daughter more than anything. Then my daughter goes to sleep, I'll play. You know, I'll throw a couple matches on. Because the thing is, the games I play are generally violent, so I don't like to do them in front of my daughter and let her see. I don't want to have her watch dudes punching dudes in the face. I'll play, like, some of the puzzle games in front of her, stuff like that. But, so I do that. Then when my daughter goes to sleep, I'll play a little bit, and I'll feel like I'm neglecting my wife a little bit. I'll play for like maybe a half hour, and I'm like, oh, crap, man, I haven't even talked to her. And I go into the other room. She's like, hey, give me the PSP, and I hand it to her. And then she doesn't talk to me for an hour. So then my feelings don't go – I don't feel so bad anymore. Because that's our loving relationship.
I actually feel bad when I don't play World of Warcraft, when I'm just sitting home doing nothing because I'm thinking that, like, you know, I could be leveling up right now. So I don't consider it really a waste of time, because what else would I be doing? Unless I'm doing something for the show, there's nothing else I should really be doing.
I never even thought about Warcraft at all. Warcraft, I totally never feel bad about it because I do it with my wife. It is our social exercise. So.
Yeah, but you wouldn't feel bad anyway.
Let me get this straight. I mean, we kind of just glossed over that for a second. Keith feels bad about not spending enough time in World of Warcraft. He thinks he's neglecting his virtual life too much time in the real world. I love that.
Yeah, I do. Well, I do because I'm letting the guild down, basically, is what I'm doing. I'm letting the guild down drastically.
Just so you know, I was just about to say, he shouldn't be worrying so much about doing anything in his virtual life is screwed up. He should be worried that his virtual guild is disappointed in his lack of appearances.
Oh, that's right, because it's a social thing. Like, you have to be doing...
Communism. Communism is what it is.
It's virtual socialism.
Brian, you never feel guilty? You never get that little tinge of guilt?
You know, I spent a lot of time in the last show obsessing about it, and ever since I got this new PS3, every time I turn it on, I feel like I can't believe what am I doing? Am I a 13-year-old boy, like, sitting down, wasting time playing video games? But I love it. It's the thing that I love most to do. Like, I'll be sitting around doing work or obsessing about, so just working hard, and this day sucks. And then all of a sudden, like, a little flash will pop in my head, like, wow, I'm going to be soon sitting down in front of my huge TV playing a video game sometime today. It's like a goal. It's what I look forward to now.
Yeah, I honestly feel bad about it, but I feel worse about not preparing for the show. like on my day off, you know, like, so what if I am playing World of Warcraft all day, I'll definitely sit there thinking I should be preparing for the show instead, you know, like, but you know,
but you get over it. You get over
I'm
it.
Fine.
A couple
I have nothing for this week and I'm okay. So
a couple rounds in, you feel better.
I feel bad about it when I'm on there, but I had my first multiplayer experience recently. I had pristine speaker or pristine sneakers. You know, big representative from the DJ New Style show.
DJ, he hangs out at the DJ New Style show here on Hear Us Talk. That's Tuesday nights 9 to 11 p.m. 9 to 11. HearUsTalk.com. Yeah, pristine's a regular guest and friend of the show. Always involved in such fine bits as Is It Gay stuff that you should be checking out week in and week out.
He showed me the virtual ropes of multiplayer in Grand Theft Auto 4. And it started off with, like, first of all, I had to figure out how to do it. Like, he refused to tell me how to do it.
I really want more than anything else just to take this out, edit it, and remove the words Grand Theft Auto. He was kind enough to show me the ropes.
Well, I mean, it was your first multiplayer experience, so he had to be gentle, you know. Like,
he was. He took it slow, and he made me happy. I was very satisfied by my first multiplayer experience.
But don't you like feel bad about like doing other things too, like instead of like sometimes I feel bad sitting and watching TV instead of when I was taking online classes when I was in virtual school, if you will. I was feeling guilty a lot about then. I was feeling guilty about playing video games. At that time I was feeling guilty about doing show stuff.
Instead of doing school stuff,
yeah, you know, like, because, but I mean, do you feel guilty about, like, just in general, not, like, even, granted, even being outside is a waste of time, you know, like.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I gotta be honest, I feel really guilty sometimes. I feel like, wow, I could really be outside playing handball, doing something really useful for the world. I mean, you know, obviously, I could probably cure cancer if I go to the park and shoot some hoops, you know.
Totally could.
I know. No, I. You know what I feel bad about? I feel bad about, I don't know, when I run out of beer and I have to go across the street and get beer. That's
you
what
feel
I feel
guilty then?
I feel really guilty. I mean, because I let myself down in not having enough of a stock to take care of things.
Like, what about work? How about, like, your hours at work? Do you feel guilty, like, about not spending enough you time or family time because you're at work for, you know, 12 hours a day?
I absolutely do until I see my paycheck, and when it comes in and realize that, hey, my family can eat, I guess it's okay. Yeah. I'll somehow gloss over the fact that, wow, I can't believe I didn't get to go home and hang out and do stuff, because instead there is a home to go to.
Yes,
that's the way I look at it.
You know, I think that's the key to why Chris probably doesn't feel nearly as guilty as maybe the rest of us does, because he's in this crazy job situation. He works he just works long hours consistently that anytime you get a moment off. I mean, I was in the same situation not too long ago, and it's just like any moment that you have off, you have no problem it being for you and doing whatever you want, because there's no time that you ever have off.
Well, the problem with that is, as much as I want that to be the case, there's another person that lives in my house. Remember the short girl you guys walked by when you came in?
Right.
Her? Yeah, she is actually the priority. So there is a certain amount of guilt with not hanging with her.
You're absolutely wrong. You're 100% wrong, because she was sleeping when I came in.
Oh, really?
I didn't walk by.
I've been in the room. See how much I ignore it?
I thought he was talking about the little girl with the cigarette in her mouth when I walked in.
No, that's some girl that just hangs out outside their house. Can you watch my daughter?
Well, what else do you feel guilty about, Keith?
What
like
else?
Watching TV, anything else?
I mean, are you talking about necessarily guilty pleasures per se, or just guilt in just whatever your actions are? Are they things that you like enjoy that you're doing that you feel guilty about?
No, it's a colossal waste of time. I'm a classic time killer. I'll lay on my couch and watch Home Improvement, which I don't even like, rather than, you know, do something. Like, I feel guilty that it's not really guilty, I guess it is, but I have bookshelves full of books that I want to read and haven't read. If I sit and read the book, I'll feel a lot better than if I sit and watch television, you know, like.
Since we're talking about guilt, Rob Giggs in the Heroes Talk chat room is pointing out that he feels guilty about being on vacation at a beach house rather than being in the studio.
As well he should.
I agree.
Keith, that is just, having those books on the shelf is just a constant reminder that you didn't get to these books.
Exactly.
It's your throbbing shame.
Yeah, totally. It is. They're all over the place.
It would definitely be my closet.
Me.
Yeah. I have so many projects that I want to get on, like things in the house, like A million. First of all, I constantly have tons of laundry.
Cooking, yeah. Cooking, eating, going to the bathroom. One of these days, I'm going to get to that.
You know, but I have let me just pick one random thing. I have tons of CDs that I need to burn onto my computer and make into MP3s so I can kind of just tuck the CDs away. I mean, they're in a book. They're not taking up much room, but that's just one random thing that popped into my head of things that I could be doing.
The main reason you have to do that is so you could make your whole catalog available online so I can download things that I don't have from you.
Right. Exactly. I feel guilty for Chris.
Serious. Well, you should. You should bear a certain amount of shame over that whole thing.
But yeah, I feel like if I'm trying to be especially for the show though, like this Thursday I was doing laundry and stuff and I had to work for part of the day, but I don't know. I feel guilty about not taking every free moment. And I only work maybe 45 hours a week. I don't nearly work, you know, like Brian was saying, how many hours Chris works, but
did you see the look that came on my face when you said 45 hours? Like, oh my God. Oh, that sounds so nice.
But it's still, I'm lazy. By the time I get home basically at 5:30 from work, and I can't do anything. I don't want to do anything.
What's the first thing you do when you walk in? Do you eat,
turn on the TV.
I've got to be honest. The whole slave to TV thing is kind of weird to me at this point. And I think it's mainly just because I have a kid that my daughter has commandeered the TV and it's always kid shows. Like, there's no such thing as ever sitting and putting on the TV. When my kid goes to sleep at night, I go to the computer or I go to my PSP. I don't sit and watch TV. Like, I literally make appointments with the particular shows I want to see. I mean, I'm sure that there was the vast majority of my life until I had a kid. That was, you know, the TV was just on constantly. You'd find something on the TV and just sit there and, you know, for lack of a better term, I hate the term veg out, but you just veg out on the couch.
Really, you should.
I know, it's so creepy. But, I'm that's so far gone for me. It's so far gone. I'm not used to that.
See, I definitely am a slave to the TV, and it's not. There's not much vegging out involved when I'm driving, at least, because I do have like a schedule, and I've got a DVR, and I've got movies that I've taped, and I have more hours of movies waiting for me to watch than I have in the day to watch them. So I'm focused. Like, I go in, the TV goes on, and I'm down, and I'm watching it. I'm there.
That's also another problem that I have. I have tons of things that I haven't watched, and I would at least feel better if I watched some of the DVDs I have.
How many DVDs do you still have in the wrapper?
Oh, about I was recently given a DVD rack, and put them finally all on the rack.
You made that the unwrapped rack?
Yeah. There's at least 10 that haven't even been, that are sealed. Especially since I get them from Columbia House when I forget to decline the selection of the month. So, like, I have a sealed copy of V for Vendetta, a sealed copy of Juno, which I've seen already.
Yeah,
but
so you saw that already, though. Yeah, I couldn't imagine ever watching V for Vendetta. I couldn't imagine buying V for Vendetta.
I Am Legend, I have
great movie
sealed. What else did I have? Mission Impossible 3,
yeah,
a Veal Chop favorite. These are the ones I forget to send the card back. Gridiron Gang with The Rock. The Rock is a football coach.
That made me cry, that movie.
Did it?
Wait. For real? Mark it. There's Fred's Lie of the Week. He cried from The Gridiron Gang. I watched The Gridiron Gang myself.
What is The Gridiron Gang?
It's The Rock. It's Dwayne Johnson now. Dwayne Johnson.
Get it right.
Yeah, he fathered a child out of wedlock while he was a pro football player and didn't know about it until she showed up at his house and said, "Dad, take care of me." And let's just say hijinks ensue.
No, that's not the Gridiron Gang.
Oh, sorry, wrong movie.
It's The Prisoner. It's The Prison. The boys that are in that juvie, and he starts a team with them, and it's like a real true-to-life story. It was very
they're like
heartwarming.
They're a dance team?
No, they're a
dance
football
crew?
Team, Bri. A football team.
I'm 100% wrong. What's the one that I know where The Rock is a football player, and then his daughter comes over?
Oh, my God, you're an idiot.
Football lady. She's a little football lady. Yeah.
Give me The Rock.
Something along those lines. Well, I didn't cry for that one then.
What movie made you cry? It's definitely been a movie that's made
you
cry.
A sports Chris. Movie made me cry.
Rudy. Rudy.
Definitely. No, A League of Their Own. I'm not kidding.
There's no crying in baseball.
And, ironically.
Could you guys excuse me? I actually have to go to the other room to ask my wife what the movies that she laughed at me for that I don't remember are, because I don't remember what the hell. I know there's two or three that were embarrassing.
Old Yeller, I definitely cried at.
Not for a minute.
Oh.
I most recently teared up at E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Homo.
I mean, no, very much. Very much.
Wait, yeah, so no. You cried to A League of Their Own. What part?
The very end when they're all old and some of them are dead and they're playing that sad, sad Madonna song.
When she realized that the girl is really Madonna and Rosie O'Donnell and she actually cared. He actually cared for them for a second and then realized who they were.
Yeah, I teared up at that League of Their Own.
Just so you guys know, the embarrassing moment that the thing that I realized that I recently got misty about. I didn't quite cry, but I got misty about. That was a little too much. Was Cars, the film Cars,
the cartoon
film Cars, because at the end of the movie, the young kid Lightning McQueen can win it all, but instead he stops to help the old man get across the finish line for the last time. And I'll be honest with you, it is so unbelievably gay, but I actually got a little choked up, like, oh, you little son of a bitch. You know, and I said it quietly to myself and like covered my face, you know, whatever. My wife looks at me and was like, you homo, you're crying. And I swear to God, I did. To me, everything is a sports game. If somebody wins in sports, or someone's willing to make a sacrifice in sports, worth crying.
Did you cry over Rudy?
No. No. Because I don't care about that.
I don't think there's anything to cry about in Rudy. Well,
the fact that you sat there for 2 hours and watched it.
No, that's to feel guilty about.
He got the sack at the end. Oh, come on. That was so uplifting.
It's not even true.
It didn't even.
Wasn't true?
It's a true story, but he didn't really sack the quarterback in his only play. He was just on the field in his only play.
He actually got to be on the field, right, and say that he actually played.
I feel like I've been raped.
Duped?
Yes.
You feel like a Hear Us Talk listener that would listen to something you said?
Hoodwinked. What about you, Brian? Any more that you cried about? Movie?
I didn't outright cry, but my girlfriend's been sitting me through torture tests of watching chick flicks, and at the end of them, I'm kind of
13 Dresses,
Out of Africa. I saw a couple days ago, and that was a little like.
Was that a good movie?
What year is this?
I know.
Well, isn't Out of Africa like 86 or something?
No, it's
like
older
that?
Than that. It's 80s, but it's older than 86. But it was. It did win Best Picture. 1983, I think.
You see,
No way Out of Africa is that old. No
1983,
way.
1983, it was the year after Gandhi won. I used to pay attention to that.
Ooh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one not to cry at.
Gandhi?
Gandhi, wow.
Somebody IMDb.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm doing
it
right now. In 1985.
85.
Oh, okay. Sydney Pollack.
Sydney Pontiac Portier.
Meryl Streep was in it.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah, she played. She affected like a German accent, so she talked like this through the whole movie.
Any of you guys want to share with us the horrible, horrible movies that you've been a part of unexpectedly and guiltily enjoyed them or cried for them? Please feel free to call us on the Hottest of All Lines, 877-744-6405. For those of you that don't know, you can get us in any of the many chat rooms that are out there. You go over to HearUsTalk.com, click on video, and there's a chat room right there. Or you go to Pal Talk. Go to the Hear Us Talk radio room in Pal Talk. It's under TV/radio and comedy.
I am watching a lot of old movies because basically if I'm watching a movie now on that big TV, I'm watching it in HD. I don't even waste time on non-HD channels anymore, so the selection is limited. They haven't activated HD on demand yet, so I just basically get to watch whatever they feed me.
Yeah, they have.
They said it's coming, but I haven't seen it.
Oh, maybe it's a Brooklyn thing, but it's available in Staten Island.
You got a channel number for me? We you know what? Let's talk after the show about
7.
This.
Put on channel 7.
One Flew of the Cuckoo's Nest made me cry as well.
I got that recorded.
Ooh, you know what? That it made me cry, but I was very, very young.
Laughter?
No. But I was very, very young at the time. So I was like an 8-year-old, 9-year-old kid when I watched it, and I cried when I realized that his friend was killing him. Sorry, did I just spoil it? Spoiler alert.
You're killing me right now.
No, he was killing him. That was the problem.
Oh, okay.
You know, when Jack Nicholson is getting the shock therapy at the end.
Really? I didn't think that was that tough.
That was tough, man. That was a tough one. You're heartless. Brian's heartless.
And how old were you when you watched it? Were you a kid or were you...
I think I was in my probably early teens, 14, 15.
Man up. Yeah. Like I said, if you were under double digits, then I'd agree with you. But at this point, all right, whatever it happens.
When did you watch Clockwork Orange, Chris? 3? 4?
Come on, don't be silly. My daughter and I are going to be watching Pulp Fiction, by the way, after the show today.
I cried. I had a teacher recommend Clockwork Orange to us when I was in 7th grade. I think we've discussed this in the past, actually.
Yes. Okay. Yes, we have.
Then
it was good.
Go listen back. I'll drop it now.
How can people listen back? They should go to bestinshowradio.com, click on download, and look at the old shows, or record it, go to the old shows. We have a whole library up there. They could listen, find it. I don't know what episode it's on, but find it. It'll be fun.
No, they go to bestinshow.com/oldies.
And they get to hear the old songs featured in the Christopher Guest film.
But that movie made me cry.
Oh my God. When it was over, I was disappointed. I cried. I was so mad it wasn't still going on.
And coming up later in the show, we have a game show. It's called What Would Brian Do?
Oh, Jesus.
Like, we all know what Jesus would do. He'd do, you know, the normal pious thing. This is What Would Brian Do?
WWBD?
WWBD.
I don't like the sound of this.
You know, I feel like I should be furthering my radio career as we were talking about, you know, not watching movies and stuff. I feel guilty, so ironically, I went back and I found some old recordings of when I was a college radio DJ.
Well, can I just point out, you went back and found them? You mean you walked to your mother's house and said, "Hey, Ma, can I have some of those tapes that you keep?" You've said it before.
Oh, son of a bitch.
You've said it before on the air that Keith was so excited that his mom actually kept a library of everything he ever did. He just set up a bit and realized he forgot to sync it to his iPod.
I did. It's not there.
Yeah, it's not true.
It has to be there. Look in a different spot.
Hold on. Wait, no. Let me. Oh, no. I have it over here. Let me put it. Duh. I'm Keith. Duh. Radio stupid.
All right, I'll have to call my intern and have her send them over to me at some point. So, we'll hold off on that for right now.
This is your college. This was going to be your college. Some of your shows.
No. This right now is his college essay. He's going to use this to try and get into college, and that was the whole point of what the whole
thing
was.
I'm so effing pissed off right now at this because I dragged it across the iTunes screen to the iPod.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I dragged the box of tapes across the hall from my mom's apartment to mine. I'm so mad.
Well, that too. I dragged it. It updated, and it's just not here.
So, hey, man, bro, if you get yourself a Zune, you won't have to deal with any of that stuff. Zune.
Zune, Zune, Zune.
Zune technology. It's the greatest thing in America.
Mad Keith is pretty scary. Like, when Keith gets mad, like, when you get mad and when Brian kind of... I've never seen Brian that mad, but when Keith gets mad, he's the scariest one of you all.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah, he has a little... You have a little tinge of something going on.
I don't get that. I don't... I'll be honest. When any mad... from any of you guys, for the most part, really doesn't have much of an effect on me. Disappointment from Keith bothers me more than anything else. Not the anger.
What do you mean
him.
By disappointment? What
like, when Keith is like, I don't want to say mad, but when Keith is let down by something and he expresses his, you know, that's what gets to me more than anything. Other than that, probably not anything.
I think it makes Chris, I think it makes you a little happy to see me mad, actually. I mean, I don't think it scares you at all, but I think I see, like, whenever we're fighting, there's, like, a little twinkle in your eye, and you're kind of excited, now, like, oh, I'm glad to be alive. Brian's angry.
When you say that, do you feel that if you inverse the names Chris and Brian in it, you would feel the same way?
No, I don't. It's a,
lie. Lie.
No, but look at Keith. I'm still looking at Keith, and Keith is holding on to that anger. Like, look at that face. Look at that face of him. He's still holding on to that anger. It's unreal. Like, you can't let it go. Maybe that's the thing. Like, you can't let go of the anger.
Oh, I can't let anything go. Because it's part of the reason I was late today was because I was doing this. And because I said, well, let me at least have something that'll take up 2 minutes of the show. And
well done. Well done.
So mad. And I want to call my wife and tell her to send the file to me. But, you know, when she wakes up at 7 o'clock, maybe I'll get to do that.
Here's an idea. When next time after you do something like this, try checking your iPod before you walk out the door. Just a thought.
Did you want me to get here even later? I had to go back upstairs and get my iPod.
I don't know what I was thinking. I had some nerve. Forget it. My bad. It's Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, talking about movies that make you cry, talking about being mad, talking about guilty pleasures, talking about all that stuff. You know, it's weird because as I look down at myself, I think in my heart of hearts, and I think about guilty pleasures that are out there. And I was a little insincere a little earlier when I said that there's nothing that I really care about on TV because last night or yesterday afternoon, accidentally, my daughter goes to take a nap. My wife watches some show like Clean House or something, or What Not to Wear, one of those shows on the Style Network. She watches one of those and she's like, "All right, now I'm gonna play my PSP now. You know, here's the remote control. You can put on whatever you want." I'm like, "Okay." So she hands me the remote control, and I just didn't do anything with it. I let it sit there. And what ensued after that, or what came next, was a fine new program on the Style Network. I don't even know if it's new, but this fine program on the Style Network called Split Ends. Do you guys have any idea what I'm talking about?
No, I've never heard of it.
Okay.
Does it have something to do with hair, because the Split Ends?
Split Ends is a reality-based show where they take two hairdressers and put them in each other's salon to see if they could survive for the day. Sounds really stupid, no? Sounds like about the dumbest show in the world.
Sounds great.
I got about 20 minutes into the first episode, which, by the way, they're hour-long episodes. They're not even like a half-hour quickies. Hour-long episode. Got 20 minutes into the first one, went to Guide on TiVo, and immediately subscribed to the show. This is my new show. Wow. It's the greatest thing in the world. Watching unbelievably flaming faggots fighting with each other. It's awesome.
Now, I bet you as soon as they walk into the opposite one's parlor, I guess, they just have everything bad to say about it. Like, "Oh, this place is not going to work for me. I don't know how this person works in this place."
Well, yeah, well, you
do
get...
They, like, comment on...
Well, like, of course. That's the whole drive of the show. It's fantastic. Yes, Dantes was so mad at some people, and Alexander was mad. Oh, I'm telling you, I'm committed. Put it this way.
I said a fade, bitch.
Put it this way. Last night, I watched the UFC TiVo'd, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, when I was done watching it, when I should have went to sleep, I watched two episodes of Split Ends at 2 o'clock in the morning before coming to bed, which would explain why I wasn't waking up early for the show today.
You were really running the gamut of, like, the most hetero show to the most homosexual show.
Well, yeah, I figured I was too butched up. I was like, "Hey, soften it. Soften it a little bit, buddy."
Yeah. Soften it.
That's what I went to.
I love...
Yes, our buddy Ed McGrath in the chat room is saying, "What are you committed to, Chris? Homosexuality?" Yes, that's what I am committed to.
I love the idea of the new show. They're going to have one of the deadliest catch guys working in the guy's salon. It's going to be great.
Oh, my God. And he just uses a crab instead of scissors? I'm telling you, I know it sounds stupid. Today, after the show, we'll sit in my living room and watch one episode of Split Ends, and you guys will understand what I'm talking about. It's so great, because the thing is, these people are terrible. Like, the salons are terrible, the hairdressers are terrible. There's generally one hairdresser that you think is okay per the episode, and that guy usually, like, trucks his way through and makes it, and it's great. I love it. It's you know what? It's feel good. It made me cry. I cried when Chris did well at I can't remember the name of Designs by DeFranco in Cleveland, Ohio. Oh my God, it was great.
I can't wait to watch the new show where Cesar Milan takes over for Super Nanny, and he starts training kids. Cesar Milan.
That would be the greatest thing.
The Dog Whisperer. The Dog Whisperer is going to start being the Super Nanny.
Did you notice the blank look on my face? Because, like, who is Cesar Milan?
I thought Cesar Milan was a hairdresser when you were saying. I was thinking, well, how does this guy know?
I thought Cesar Milan was one of those Pepperidge Farm cookies. I love those.
No, it's a girl from Who's the Boss.
That would be a great thing, though, to intermingle these crazy reality shows.
Yeah, that
would be great.
That would be the best thing. Like,
I would love to see a dog trainer try to train a kid into being good. You know, how well would he do?
So the Nanny and the Dog Whisperer, or it's a world, a Super Nanny? What's the name of that show?
Super Nanny is like a nanny that comes to, you know.
Did he just...
make your kids better.
Did you just plug the Baby Whisperer? Is that what it is?
The Baby Whisperer.
The Baby Whisperer.
That sounds like a great idea. You get a dog trainer, try to train a kid not to be a kid.
I thought it was
basically
a real show. No, I thought the person says, "I know what this baby's saying."
Like, he speaks baby?
Yeah.
I would love to see someone from The Deadliest Catch cut someone's hair with a crab. I mean, that would be phenomenal.
That would be phenomenal.
But like UFC cooking?
The Baby Whisperer.
You burn the peas. Come here.
That would be the best thing in the world if they just, regardless of a network, if they just got people from all the reality shows and had them do different things. It would be the best.
Like, instead of the Iron Chef, it would be, I don't know.
Like, Rachel Ray has to fight the, Rachel Ray has to fight the Super Nanny in a UFC ring, or, like, because I love that Oh, it is. Well, forget it. I was going to say, I love how UFC became a reality show now, but I forgot it was a reality show.
The UFC becoming a reality show is why UFC is what it is right now.
Okay.
And I'm not going to do my UFC thing yet. Actually, you know what? Maybe I should just talk about UFC right now, because I'm going to bet that the three guys in the room with me did not see last night's event.
No, we were there.
Yeah, but so that's what I figured. So, hey, I could sum the whole thing up in 4 minutes. Spoiler alert for everybody in the world. UFC, the Ultimate Fighter, the TV show, is what made Ultimate Fighting what it is today. Because of the success of the first season, where Forrest Griffin and Stephen Bonner fought in the finale in one of the most dramatic, like, toe-to-toe battles forever to see who was going to win. That's actually what made the UFC blow up to what it is today, why people at all care about it instead of just, like, five dudes, you know, that care about it now. And the reason I say spoiler alert is because last night, Forrest Griffin beat Quentin Rampage Jackson and became the light heavyweight champion of the world. The winner of the Ultimate Fighter now holds probably the most coveted belt in all of mixed martial arts.
Look at that.
Yeah, and I will go so far as to say I give him one title defense before he gets knocked out, because it was there's no way that he should have won the fight. He kicked Quentin in his knee like three or four times, and on the fourth time, Quentin just all of a sudden couldn't walk for the rest of the match.
So is that legal?
Yeah, it's legal. I mean, don't get me wrong, it was a good fight, but if he did it, Quentin doesn't have strong, you know, he's not a big leg guy. He's a puncher
Brawler.
And a slammer. You know,
well, maybe maybe this guy's strength is finding weaknesses. And,
it could be.
Fights.
It could be. And I'm sure that's what they'll do. I'm just going to go on record as saying I'd be willing to bet anybody that wants to bet anything that in Forrest Griffin's first title defense, and I don't even know who he's fighting against yet, that he will get destroyed. He will get destroyed, whether it's by Quentin, whether it's by Liddell, whether it's by Vanderlei Silva, anybody, he's going to get destroyed. It's cute. It's great. It's feel good. It's very Rudy. To bring it back in, that this guy, like, from out of nowhere did it and won. I also think that the guy that he fought against, he got lucky and caught him in the knee and hurt him. I think the guy didn't take him seriously and didn't train properly for the fight.
Would he lose to the Dean of Mean?
He got knocked out by the Dean of Mean, Keith Jardine, about a year ago.
Okay.
That's the thing. That's why it's just like, wait, why does this guy even have a title shot? Like, he's lost. He got knocked out in one of his last three fights.
Because of the show?
But Keith Jardine's from the show, too.
Oh, is he?
That's the thing. Don't get me wrong. I mean, he's like the face at this point. I think, the guy they're going to try and push and try and make something out of. But we'll see what happens. I just think it was a horrific thing. It broke my heart. It was a horrible fight, too. Very dull, non-exciting, not good at all. Thank you.
Thank you.
I thought you were going to go elaborate a little bit more.
Yeah.
Like another hour, hopefully.
Yeah. It was there. Well, I'll talk slower.
Sports.
Yeah, it was a good time, though. I enjoyed it. It was exciting. My wife, listening to my wife sitting on the couch, getting excited every time that Forrest did anything.
Every time a man bent down and their buttocks was revealed.
Yes.
I mean, for any woman, UFC is a good, you know, it's a good time. You just see two nice-looking dudes wrestling around each other.
I would hardly refer to 98% of mixed martial artists as nice-looking dudes. Guys
nice
with
bodies.
Guys that have like bowling balls on the sides of their head for ears are not exactly what I would call
bowling ball ears.
I cried during a UFC fight. It's emotional.
I cried during MSG Classics the other night. Have you anyone watched MSG Classics?
Oh god, when they show old WWF matches,
yeah,
I cry
great.
All the time. Snuka versus Morocco. Oh my god, he jumped off the top of that cage. Was that standing?
The Undertaker versus Tugboat. I was watching the other night.
Keith, did you cry at a David Bowie concert?
No, I drank pink champagne though, with strawberries in it.
You never cried at any sort of, like, maybe even a David Bowie song?
I teared up at something a couple days ago that I was watching on Friday.
What was it?
What?
It was
Little Drummer Boy when he sang with Bing Crosby.
This Glastonbury concert from 2003, and it was that band Love. The old 60s band. It was Arthur Lee with the new lineup. It was Arthur Lee and Baby Lemonade,
right,
as Love. And during one of the songs, this song called... I should plug their album, right? The
Sure.
CD's called Forever Changes, and the last song from the regular portion is called You Set the Scene, and I kind of teared up during the middle part of that. Partially for Arthur Lee being just a sad, sad guy that died, and partially because it was very emotional.
Do you think you set the scene, Keith?
I have in the past, but not today.
By the way, if you had any sort of sense about you, you'd throw that song on right now just in the background for your story, and we could actually listen, and maybe you
But Brian stole my audio.
Oh, man. I'd hope to hear it. I forget it at this point.
Maybe
you could squirt a few out.
I'll use it as the outro. How's that?
Outstanding.
Outro music.
But for the outro, we're going to keep the camera focused on Keith today and leave his mic on. I want to hear if you cry watching this.
This is what we...
I'm not going to cry.
And the three of us stand here with our arms folded, staring at you the whole time.
Waiting for a single tear to roll down.
Pulling hairs out of my leg.
I'll just start shooting you with a BB gun from across the room. I'll do anything. I'll start cutting an onion, actually, is what I'll do.
Oh, man, I was cooking a lot this week, by the way. By cooking a lot, I mean I bought a bunch of ingredients and didn't actually make anything.
I boiled an egg.
But I've had this urge to cook all of a sudden. I ate goat cheese this week for the first time.
You were saying something the other day. It wasn't goat cheese. It was something else that you ate recently that you were asking about. I was like, wait, is this supposed to taste like this?
Oh, no, I tried to make pesto.
Oh, pesto. That's what it was.
What do you mean you made pesto?
I made it. The
easy
sauce.
To make. It's easy to
you
make.
You made pesto sauce.
Yeah, the sauce.
But pesto is.
But you go out and you buy the ingredient pesto and you make sauce out of it.
No, what is pesto? What is pesto?
I don't know, some sort of vegetable.
You're out of your mind, you lunatic.
I have no idea what it is. Something green.
No, pesto is the name of the sauce. It's basil, you maniac. That's
basil's the green thing?
You don't put pesto in pesto sauce.
I thought it was. I thought pesto was a vegetable that grew out in the field.
After the show today, I'm going to call a pizzeria. No, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to kill my own marinaras, and I'm going to make marinara sauce with it.
What's that green stuff called? I thought it was the pesto plant.
Pesto. That's outrageous.
I thought you got pesto for the pesto tree. Sometimes I seriously did. Like, you picked the pesto down, and then you ground it up and mixed it with, I don't know, like a cream or whatever your pesto sauce is.
I wish that was one of my "what would Brian do" questions. If Brian was making pesto.
How many pestos do you need for 1 pound pasta when you're making pesto sauce?
I thought it's like magic. Like presto.
And you wound up never making anything, Keith?
Yes. So how did your pesto work out for you?
So I finally followed the directions to a T.
Which are what? Can you, just for the uninitiated, tell me what the directions are?
Sure.
I would go so far as to say the uninitiated are you. Maybe. You're the only person on the planet.
You take some pine nuts, some garlic.
I prefer pignolis.
Yeah, it's the same thing for those that don't know.
You take those that speak English.
Yeah. You take pine nuts, you take garlic, white wine with white wine vinegar, some other stuff like that, oil, extra virgin olive oil. You dump all these things into a blender, and it's as simple as that. You just blend it up.
Where's the basil?
Obviously is the main ingredient. I forgot. Basil.
And where's the pesto?
I had to go to a pesto farm to get it. But
at Pesto Changeo, there's your sauce.
And so I blended it up, and I smelled it, and it smelled like a garlic plant. It was just...
You put too much garlic in.
That sounds delicious.
It was terrible smelling. It was too much... the only thing I wonder now is the recipe I used had asked for way more basil than any of the other recipes I saw, so I'm wondering if that was an error. They all ask for one bunch normally of basil, and this asked for 4 cups, which is like 3 bunches. So I'm thinking
4 pestos of basil.
4 pestos they wanted, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, because pesto is disgusting even when it's made perfectly. So I never.
Hate
pesto. I hate it. So I never. I don't know how many bunches you're supposed to use, but more than anything else, the only thing that this is bringing to the forefront of my mind right now, the only thing that I care about is I want more than anything else. Cooking with Keith to be part of our show.
No, cooking with Brian. Brian doesn't know how to cook.
No. Oh, you know what?
Brian and Keith.
Maybe dueling chefs. Maybe the two of you tackle the same thing. But the thing is, I don't want you guys to prep in advance. I want it to be that we give you the recipe.
Yes, and we give you the recipe.
We could do it on video, maybe, and we'll do it, and we could play it during the show. That's what we'll do. But we'll do it like in my kitchen. That we'll just shock. Like, all right, here we go. It's cooking with Keith. Here's your Kicking with Keith.
I'm ready, 100%.
You know, it'd be great if we made the dishes that Keith was forced to make out of ingredients that he's repulsed by, like mayonnaise and ketchup and so forth, or any food.
It would be done after like 30 seconds. It'd be funny for those 30 seconds.
I mean, he just has to touch it. He doesn't have to eat it. He has to make it.
Well, who has to eat it? Those aren't really cooking ingredients.
You don't cook with mayonnaise. That's like a staple of mine.
Cooking?
Sure. I use mayonnaise on everything. I use mayonnaise.
As a condiment, though. You don't cook with it. What cooking do you do with mayonnaise?
I guess, well, I mean, when I talk about cooking, I mean making food to eat. Whether it means putting it in a pan.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Making a ham sandwich is never going to be one of the recipes.
I totally call that cooking. I made an egg sandwich, a fried egg sandwich yesterday, and used mayonnaise. And that's called cooking.
Well, first of all, I think that's delicious. As much as anyone else is going to make believe it's disgusting, I think. But that is certainly not cooking. So when my daughter in the morning, like on Saturday morning, when I make oatmeal for my daughter, is that considered cooking?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're an embarrassment.
I'm winning this contest.
You're an embarrassment. Really.
Are you guys going to eat what?
That's what I was talking about.
Oh my God.
Me and Chris have to eat it.
Okay. I'm fine with that. We will eat. We will taste test it even.
Are we going to have like a theme song for it? Brian, you have a theme song for the cooking with us thing?
We should come up with something, right? Hey, Donna, are you hungry? Because we got some treats. Food by Brian and his boy, Keith. Yeah, but do a news report instead. That's more important. Good morning, buddy.
I am a big, big fan of this cooking show idea, and I think it should be set up just like Iron Chef, so you have two of them, you know, in their separate kitchens, and then the three of us can be judges, and we taste all their food, and see what they think.
I love the idea of getting them in Kitchen Stadium for an hour, and they get, oh my God, today's secret ingredient, pesto.
No!
And to see Keith in one of those big, like, muffin-shaped hats, those big chef hats, would be phenomenal.
Man. See, I think this is a big, big video idea that we have. I don't understand how we could execute this live on the air.
Where can we get this stadium, kitchen stadium thing?
I think that's the kitchen right outside our studio.
I don't know. Yeah.
Will they rent it out to us for free?
I'm sure they probably will.
For promotion. We'll promote the Iron Chef on our show.
Awesome. We got things in the works. Right after the Renaissance Festival, we'll do our Iron Chef show. It'll be fantastic. So what's going on, buddy? Where are you at today?
I'm sitting in my car on Van Duzer Street in Staten Island, New York.
Fantastic.
And, yeah. So I was... happy Independence Day, everyone.
Happy.
I feel very
celebrated my independence by, for some reason, coming to Staten Island again. And sitting in Ron Hill's poopy backyard. That's where I was. Keith was there.
Wait,
Fred was there.
Rock the Harbor 2 was yesterday, and I didn't even know about it?
Yes. No, you knew about it. We called you, and you said, I'm never coming there. that was the end of it.
Yeah, well, I was at the supermarket. What am I going to do?
I actually received an invite for that and politely turned it down.
The reason that I turned it down is because I heard that Brian might be coming, so I figured it would be better for me.
Well, Brian didn't turn it. Brian said, Brian's response was funny to me. He said, well, it would be me and my girlfriend and another friend of ours, this other girl. So is that cool? You know, it would probably be us coming. I was like, yeah, sure. He's like, all right, yeah. So don't bank on it, though.
the best part about it is when Keith called me and said, hey, you want to come here? I'm like, yeah, that's just not going to happen. It was my exact words. And his response, oh, man, at least Brian even lied to us and made us feel like it was possible.
I was actually about, I'd say, 30 feet away from the Staten Island ferry, so I could have just hopped right on the ferry and jumped right over.
Oh, well, you're a jerk. You could have been there in a half hour.
Not bad about it.
I could have been there in 10 minutes, but still, you're the jerk.
It was the closest possible that way. I mean, it was a perfect time. I was right there. We were kind of looking for something to do, and instead we just walked around Lower Manhattan in the rain.
Why do I have a feeling that if you were walking by Ronnie's house and they said, hey, bro, come in for a party, be like, yeah, I don't know.
No, that would be you, Chris.
Oh, I wouldn't be walking down there. There's no way I'd be walking around over there.
If I was alone...
there'd be a chance that Ronnie would see me. That's why I wouldn't go.
If I was alone, I definitely would have, but I was with two people from Manhattan, or actually one from Brooklyn now, and I'm telling you, the anti-Staten Island sentiment in the five boroughs, or at least four of them, is pretty strong. Like, you just hint at the fact that, hey, there's something fun going on at Staten Island, and it's like, click! They just turn right off. They don't accept that Staten Island is actually going to be entertaining.
So hang out with...
Those people are jerks.
Yeah, hang out with jerks in Jerkville, then. Enjoy yourselves.
Sorry, it's Staten Island.
You're very cool.
Sorry, Staten Island didn't make the the
the cut.
Wow! Oh, wow! Come on, bro, sell it, sell it hard.
Yeah, sorry, Staten Island didn't. I'm sure we didn't invent math here.
Well,
yeah, you know what? Don't come here. Get it.
By the same argument, it seems like no one from Staten Island ever leaves Staten Island to actually come into Brooklyn or Manhattan to meet
well,
up.
Brooklyn is gross, so there's no reason that would ever happen. But I go to the city at least once.
Five times a week?
No, for social reasons. I go there at least. I would say I go out in the city maybe once every 2 months. I go out in Staten Island zero every 2 months. So, I mean, Manhattan wins in that respect. But that's because all my friends are from Manhattan.
Your guild is demanding your attendance is being taken and you have to report to.
Well, it's a little different, except Keith never shows up for those.
Hey, Vanessa, did you have a good time at the party?
Well, Keith and I drank a lot.
Yeah, Keith rolled up with, like, Crystal Light and vodka, my favorite.
Yeah. I didn't drink his Crystal Light and vodka concoction, which at some point he ran out of Crystal Light, and then he was just drinking vodka, which I knew was going to be a bad idea.
Wait. You were drinking straight vodka?
Yeah.
He offered it to me, and I was
I'll be 100% honest with you. It's not totally crazy to drink straight vodka, but you are the king of fruity drinks. Mm-hmm. I am blown away to think that you would be drinking straight vodka. How many drinks in is this that he decides to abandon the mixer, Vanessa?
Like two of those small water bottles full of Crystal Light, which he had added vodka to. I'd say that it'd probably be like six cocktails.
So, but, I mean, but it shouldn't. It should be at the best buzz time. It shouldn't be drunk time yet. No, or was it drunk time? You think?
No, I was drunk.
I'm thinking he just ran out of Crystal Light.
Now, exactly.
He was fuzzing over a little bit. You know, when his eyes get a little bit like less focused.
Closed.
Yeah. I'm looking across the table at it right now.
Well, Vanessa, did he drink at home first, or just at the party? Did he start at the apartment?
I don't know. Did you drink before you came?
I just let that go because I think it's funny that Fred was actually there with Vanessa before I left my house, and for some reason he's asking her if I drank at home.
I have no idea. that is pretty amazing news that Ron Hill let you in his backyard. What's going on, man? Freddie, what's up?
No, I didn't. I didn't start drinking at home.
So
you couldn't have been drinking already because you came in a piss mood. And then you got much better. Like, half an hour later, you were okay.
Wait, what?
Bring Grandma her medicine. Once Grandma has her medicine, she won't be so surly.
Was I in a bad mood when I got there?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess I was. I'm always in a bad mood when I show up places. You know what it is? I'm always overwhelmed. Even though it's people I know, I'm overwhelmed when I walk in and there's tons of people to, you know, like that.
Gee, I wonder why I never show up at things.
But your friends, Keith, it's your friends.
I understand, it's that whole thing of having to scan and start saying hi to people, you know, like it's just a little weird. You know?
That's exactly what he said. He's there, and I was like, oh, you're in a mood. And you said, let me just scan the crowd and find out who I'm going to talk to.
Why don't you get it set up that
secrets?
Why don't you get it set up where you come in like almost on a throne and people have to come to you and like say hi to you? You never get up at any point.
I think the mood is called sobriety. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, sobriety and a crowd of people is never a good thing for anyone, not just me.
But what are you frightened about? Just saying hello to everybody? Just shaking a hand and giving a kiss hello?
It's not afraid, right?
It's not afraid. It's just a matter of I feel like if I make eye contact with someone, I have to go over and say hello to them, and it's just too many people there to say... To go to every Fred, as Fred points to his sunglasses.
That's why.
You don't have to make eye contact.
I'm asleep half the time in this room. You guys don't even know.
And plus, when I got there, I was clinging to Vanessa actually when I got there, and kind of just like hiding with her. You know?
I was thinking about it visually, and like you walked in, Vanessa. I don't want to talk, and like you just grabbed onto her, like you were trying to get in some sort of papoose. Like, can you just like, grab her and latch on?
I pictured him like kind of latched around her leg and sitting on her foot, like a baby to the daddy.
But then it was okay. I walked him around, and we didn't talk to other people. Fred came over and visited with us for a little while, and then went on his way. It was good. We took audiences, you know. We sat and we drank. And
that is true. We did sit down and we had people come over, you know, like had visitors. That's a good thing. I like that.
By the way, I'd like to point out that in the Heroes Talk chat room, it's being mentioned by our buddy Brix Avalon that when someone is in the chair that Keith is in right now, you become not as convincing because you now look not as convincing as Fred slumped over in that chair. You automatically look like you're lying in that chair. So you do. I guess maybe his angle is that you really do love going to these parties.
I did.
Secret.
Yeah, I know.
It's like the liar's chair. Kind of like you're all kind of yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but it was good. I liked sitting there and having people come over, and I did get to have long conversations with you know people I don't really have really get a chance to talk to.
People
much.
I don't particularly care for. I spoke to tons of people that I don't want to know. It was great.
I tried to offer Keith ecstasy, and Vanessa got so mad at me.
Wait, you were there?
Yeah,
I did. I was gonna punch you.
Chris says, well, you were there. We've been talking about this for the past 10 minutes.
Are you talking about the drug?
Well, yeah, but I knew that you were at Keith's house before, Tom. I didn't know that you were at the Ron Hill thing. They're just hanging out at Keith's house, and then you went home like when they went to go hang
That's
out.
What I'm saying. Like, wait, how'd they let him in?
We never went to Keith's house. We were the party.
Okay. I'm going to rewind the tape and listen. Hey, so did you drink before you got there? I think it's weird that Fred would even ask that because he was with us before we were there.
No,
so that's why
Fred,
I assumed
Fred was with Vanessa at the party when I was still at home. That's why I didn't understand why he was asking someone that wasn't with me if I drank at home.
Yeah, but that would mean that I would have had to have heard what you guys said. You had to pay attention. Not interpret it my own way.
Do you feel guilty now?
Yeah, now you feel like a jerk. You were going to call us out convoluted storytelling, but you just weren't listening.
I so don't feel like a jerk at all, but...
Never does.
Never does, never will.
And to Vanessa, did Keith get rowdy at the end of the night? Did he really start, did he take his shirt off or anything?
No, we did not get rowdy. I think, we just got more condescending to everyone around us, which I guess is our version of rowdy.
Did that happen, really? I'm such
yes.
a jerk.
Okay, we went to the kitchen, and there were some people walking by who, I don't know who they were. They were like way younger kids who just show up at these kind of things. And every time they would pass by, and they would feel really self-conscious because they had to walk in between us. And every time they walked by, you would give me such a look. It was just like, oh, these guys. yep, those guys. And it didn't matter who it was. Like, everyone got like a terrible look from you.
Oh my God, I'm a horrible, horrible human being.
That's great.
Why were there young kids hanging out at 65-year-old Ron Hill's house?
Yeah, I don't know. There's always young kids.
Because there was beer and barbecue.
Yeah, okay, I guess more importantly, why is 65-year-old Ron Hill allowing children to come into his house and get drunk?
By children, she means early
20s. I don't mean children. I mean like 22-year-olds.
Children, like you said. Why are there children showing up at an old man's house to get drunk?
I don't know, but they had the dumbest, like, hipster haircuts and stuff. And
that's why I was making the faces at them.
I know why. I was making the face right back at you. I'm just saying that,
Yeah, but you're mean.
As we drank, as the night got further along, we were a little bit higher up in our judgment of everyone else around us.
That's true. Our throne did rise a bit as the night. The throne is fueled with alcohol. You pour the alcohol in and it lifts it up as the water rises.
It's like a moat. Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a good time.
So you're all welcome to come next time there's a party.
No, that sounded great. I kind of wish I was there. I would have definitely liked it.
Brian missed a chance to be condescending.
Exactly.
And drunk.
No. He was being condescending on his own wherever he was, no matter what.
He was being condescending by not showing up.
If he was in his bathroom looking in the mirror, he'd be condescending to the guy looking back at him.
I was treating you and Vanessa as those guys for my own little personal throne in Manhattan.
Sorry.
Yeah, you were wrong.
I don't know. Well,
sounds like a party.
Can I? It was a party. It was a good time. I feel great now. I drank a lot of beer. I feel awesome. I'm, sitting in my car. It's outstanding time. I'm really glad I came.
Can I talk about
last week a little bit? Can I talk about what happened last week on the radio?
Uh-oh. What do you mean?
So So I told a little story last week, you know, for Gay Pride Weekend.
Yes, you right? did. Yes, you did.
Is this Fred's lie of the show? Might, what's that?
I said, is this going to turn out to be that it was Fred's lie of the show last week?
No, you were sitting in for him. No. So some people in my life were less than thrilled about my telling of that story. It went over big in the room you guys are in, but it didn't go so over so big in the room I was in. And I guess the difference was I didn't really see a difference between telling stories about sexy work time and telling stories about sexy personal time as being... They were both me. They were both things that I was doing. Well, apparently there is a large distinction between sexy work time and sexy personal time. And sexy personal time is not supposed to be spoken about publicly. So I was just... You guys are all in relationships, married, whatnot. How would you feel? I know you're real happy when I talk about these things, but all right, what if it's your chick and she's telling stories like this publicly, not just stories to you to whisper in your ear, but stories publicly on the air? Would you be mad?
About themselves?
Yes. About themselves.
Yeah, like
about
not, like
experiences
saying,
that they had.
But not experiences with you per se. Like I said, like don't
not
get me.
Not me. I'm out of this.
No. But what I'm saying is, if it were you, because you're the person that's talking, it's not like you're talking about an experience that you had with your current significant other. It's you telling a story about your past, or me.
Oh, right.
Oh, we'll use me as the example.
Stories
then.
About their past.
Right. If my girl told a filthy story about herself that had nothing to do with me. And, you know, there is the double standard of gender involved to a certain extent there. But no, I wouldn't care. I wouldn't even care a little bit.
What if your girl was an ex-stripper and she was telling stripper stories? Like, what if she was actually Vanessa and she was saying those specific stories? Would you then care?
Wouldn't bother me at all. I am of the mindset that I'm very secure in my relationship, and that's not to imply that people who have a problem with it are not. I am secure in my relationship, and I'm very happy to be where I am. And I am also a human being that understands that people have had experiences. The world did not start with me. I know Fred will scream no if I tell him that his wife had sex before she met him. But she has, bro. She's had sex before you. You know, I mean, I have no problem with anything like that, and I have no problem with that being told. What's up, Brian?
So you're okay if your wife comes in, sits down in the seat, and tells us a story about how she had oral sex with another girl in a public restroom and how people watched and all that stuff.
Fine with me. My wife would never tell that story, so maybe that's tempering my mindset, because I know it would never happen.
Of course, because you picked her because you know that she's not the type of girl that's gonna talk about things like you've picked the certain person that you're gonna be with because
what type of girl are you saying that I am then, Fred?
No, I'm saying his wife is the type of girl that's not going to be honest or on the radio or public with certain things, and I think Chris, he doesn't think he picked her because of that. I think that subconsciously he picked you picked your wife. You know,
I think that's totally 100% insane, crazy talk.
Really? Let's be clear, she picked him.
Obviously, I wasn't going down any supermarket aisle saying, "Oh yeah, I'll have one of those."
And it's just about honesty and public honesty, Vanessa. That's all it has to do with. It's you know, I'm not saying that you're a certain type of girl. You're an honest, open person.
So you're calling my wife a liar, then?
I'm not saying she's not as open. And
no matter what, you're screwed out of this. You open your mouth, and you're in trouble with someone. It's just a matter of who.
Well, the fact is, what you're suggesting, Chris, is that you have a certain amount of confidence that, yeah, I have no problem with my wife saying that because you know that she wouldn't say that.
But that's the thing is,
through
I don't
the idea that
and,
what if she did?
And
come
that's
in
the
and
thing.
Tell us.
I don't think it's. I'm saying subconsciously, it could be possible that because I know she wouldn't, that's making me think that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this is – I'm doing double negative reasoning with myself. I don't care.
guess what? My wife has had sex. My wife has had probably filthy sex with people in God knows what positions, and she could tell anybody that you're she saying, feels okay.
All right,
about
tell
it.
The story.
I disagree.
Well, that would be up
so
to her.
So let's bring her in.
I disagree with you. I would feel uncomfortable.
If my wife told you?
No, if
what? Because
if
then I would. Because then I would know that you were involved. No,
if my wife was as open as Vanessa is on the show, it would make me feel uncomfortable.
Wait, you mean like sitting on the back of the toilet, spread open, or?
But definitely would make me feel a little bit uncomfortable. But you know the sexcapades and the certain things.
We are people. And we've lived a life, and you have to have experiences, and the desire to, not even so much the desire, but the willingness to share that is the reason why people will ever listen to a radio show. Get it, say whatever you want. If my chick had a problem with me saying, and again, it goes back to your point, I guess, of like why you picked her. Like, my wife is never going to try and put a leash on me, other than maybe when I'm at her family, at her parents' house.
And I bet you, hey, isn't that one of the main reasons why that you're together?
And that's what I'm saying. Speaking to your point, I guess maybe, but it's not because she wouldn't, though, because I don't care. She can say whatever she wants. I'm just so open.
Thinking that Vanessa's significant others having problems with talking about real time and not job time. Is that true, Vanessa?
That's what the problem. Yeah, that's what the problem was.
I understand Vanessa's issue, or maybe more specifically, Vanessa's significant other's issue. It's sensitive stuff, and if you're a shy guy and you don't like kiss and tell or whatever, it becomes a little bit of an issue when you're, particularly if you're particularly jealous. So yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I think if my girlfriend came on here and started telling stories, I wouldn't be upset. It weirded me out a little bit.
Your brain would explode.
As long as it wasn't about me, I think I'd be okay with it. But she started telling stories about me, I'd probably be a little upset.
By the way, I'm being asked in the Heroes Talk chat room, where you go to heroestalk.com, click on forum, by Ustreamer 79147. But Chris, what if she started talking about blowing the stripper ring, which I don't even know what that means, in that hen party? Would I just grin and bear it? I don't care. My wife may have had experiences, and if she feels like sharing those, she can share those. It does not change anything about our relationship today. You guys are both raising your hands. Who goes first?
Well, I mean, I was actually going to respond to something about Freddie. Vanessa is in the hot seat. Vanessa is getting in trouble from her significant other for stuff that she's saying on the radio show, and it happens to me regularly. It's not a comfortable feeling. I've gotten into fights as a result of stuff that I've said on the show. And I know Freddie has. I'm calling you out on the carpet, Freddie. I know that you've gotten a handful a couple of times. This is part of doing this show.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's painful. It's a painful part. It's the most painful part of the show, I think.
Do you remember what post-show meetings are like, though?
that's over. That's like a Band-Aid, you know? You suffer through the 4 hours of Chris yelling at you. But, I mean, I got to live with her for the rest of my life.
So, Vanessa, what are you going to do to mediate the situation? What are you going to do?
I've got to live with her.
Well, I kind of feel like in for a penny, in for a pound, so I was going to tell you guys another personal story.
Hell yeah.
I don't want to
have you add fuel to the fire, but if you do, I'll be toasting my hands and roasting s'mores on it. That's all I'll say.
Ew.
It's just, here's the thing, like, when I speak about something that happened in the past, I mean, I can understand if I talked about something that happened last week that I did, but, you know, like, if I'm speaking about something that is so far removed from my life now, and anyone wants to have a problem with that, it kind of goes with what Fred said. They probably shouldn't have dated me to begin with. You know, I am a certain person. I am open about my history. We do a radio show, and I suppose that there is something in the back of your head as you're speaking, like, oh, is anyone going to be hurt by this? But we've talked about it before. You just can't censor yourself. Or the whole thing's going to suffer.
But maybe look at it at his point of view. Maybe, you know, you're a different person now than you were then. And maybe he'd like to remember you as just the person that he knows and not your past. I know you come with your past and, you know, but do you understand what I mean? Do you guys know?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I mean, I can understand. I think it's just, I think everybody just has to get over it. I think that's the answer. You know, it just has to be okay, or I have to not be on a show. You know, like.
Yeah, that's not going
to be able to say everything I want.
That's not going to work out for us. So we're just going to have to fight through that. We're going to have to fight through that. As it's being mentioned in the Heroes Talk chat room, this is the most important part of the show that we're actually going to start charging for. So it's obviously that's not an option for you to stop doing the show.
So give up the goods, Vanessa.
Hold on. Wait. Let me put this marshmallow and chocolate and graham cracker on this stick.
So when I was in high school, I lived on Staten Island. I've been down here a couple of times, you know, for Ron Hill's event, and I was driving around down here, and I passed by a house, and I'm like, that house looks really familiar. What, did somebody I know live there? And I couldn't remember why I knew it, and then it hit me. When I was 18, I was with another friend of mine who is similarly aged. We were down drinking illegally in the Bay Street area, where I had no problem being served alcohol in high school, and we got ourselves worked up, so we decided we needed to go find somewhere where we could have special alone time.
Fred time.
And we were drunk, stumbling around this part of Staten Island, and this house had a giant wraparound porch with furniture on it, with like couches and things, like patio furniture. So we went up on at like 3 o'clock in the morning. We went onto the porch of this house and got naked and rolled around and did what we did on the porch. And I drove by that house and remembered that I did this. So then I was wondering if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you wake up to some strange noises and there's naked teenage girls having lesbian sex on your porch, do you call the police or do you hope they never leave?
Sorry, I was just finishing up over here.
Are they white?
How teenage?
We were 18.
Oh.
You're right there.
Uh-oh. Get off my lawn, Sonny. I call the cops.
Bricks Avalon is suggesting in the chat room you hit them in the head with a glass bottle.
Yeah, is it? Wait, it depends. Is it Halloween? Are they asking me for candy?
They seem to be supplying their own sweets.
We didn't ring the bell. We didn't ask for permission to use the porch. We just drunkenly stumbled up on it and ended up naked.
18 years old, 3 o'clock in the morning. Were you in various states of undress, or were you clothed? Or was it a matter, I mean, like, was it probing underneath clothes, or were you just naked?
We ended up completely naked, because I thought that was pretty funny afterwards.
If I came outside and found two naked kids on my on my front porch, I might be freaked out. I might be somewhat freaked out.
I would probably try to take a picture, and then I'd chase you off the porch, in all honesty. That's what I would do. I think I'd have to get rid of you. I can't have that happening on my front porch, right?
Right. You put it in the spank bank, and then you get rid of him.
Well, I told you I took a picture. I mean,
spank bank video camera.
DVD.
Because I've always had this little. It reminded me that I've always wondered, and we kind of mused about it at the time afterwards. It's like, what if they woke up and were watching? You know, and they just didn't say anything. They just quiet like church mice peeked out the window and watched the whole thing unfold.
By the way, my favorite comments of the day from our buddy Bricks Avalon is how you'd invite the two of them in and lock them under the stairs to live forever. Yeah, as much as I may enjoy seeing naked teen lesbian sex, wow, I can't believe the phrase naked teen lesbian sex was just said on our air. But as much as I would enjoy seeing it, I think you'd probably be left with no choice but to chase them away.
I would be videotaping it.
Chase away their throbbing, moistened bits.
And I'm not lying when I say that. I'm not being funny guy. I would videotape it.
Of course.
You know. Then I'd...
And then chase them.
I haven't chased them.
You know, it begs the question, Vanessa, does that... You're kind of suggesting that you might have actually liked it. Do you like being watched? Do you think, like, you would have enjoyed the capacity? If they woke up and watched you, do you think that would have been good?
The kind of house that it was, I was feeling more like we're going to get caught and it's going to be bad. Like, it looks like maybe, like, grandparents lived there and not the kind of people who would be watching, so... I was a little bit more scared, than titillated by the idea that they were watching.
Our buddy Ed McGrath is calling our bluff on this and saying, "Stop, you jacket! What else would you do other than finding teens doing it in the front of your house? You just jacket." And I've got to be honest. Maybe after you jack and finish videotaping, then you chase them away. The thing is, you got to think as a homeowner, there's going to be some sort of, what time? 3 a.m?
Yeah.
That's exactly my point. Whether I'm renting or leasing or paying for it doesn't really make that much of a difference. I think I would be a little like, okay, fine. It's something that's happening. I'd probably take a picture so I could have something to prove the story. That would follow up for the next week or so. But I'd chase you off my...
The time now brings a different thing into it. And by the way, I'm being called out in the chat room by our buddy Space Edge. Did you call yourself homo? No, homeowner. Homeowner, not homo. Although my description of what I would do for this story would suggest that I might be. See, 3 a.m?
If there's a chance that your child can see, you want them out of there. I mean, if you have a family,
if my child is up at 4 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning, I shouldn't be allowed to be a person.
Well, but the noise could wake them up. I mean, were you being noisy, Vanessa? I'm sure they weren't quiet.
We were drunk, so I bet there was some noise.
Giggling,
even. I mean, I kind of remember us trying to, like, you know, sneak very carefully up onto the porch and, you know, and not make any noise and not get discovered, but.
Take my dog.
How quiet are drunk people usually, even when they think they're being quiet?
Briggs Avalon in the chat room brings up, you know, if you list that with the inclusion of the home, does the value of the house go up?
Should I go over there? Should I go knock on the door and say, hey, in 1988, this may or may not have happened?
So please enjoy. We have 2 full baths. We had teen sex on the front. And look at this wide foyer.
Sold.
Was that the most, I guess, public place you ever did it, Vanessa?
No, on stage at Madison Square Garden.
No, in a personal life.
Let's see. Public. Yeah, I've probably had, like, a little bit of messing around more in public, but that was... That was like, I don't know. It was private and public. You know, like we didn't think anyone was watching.
By the way, I don't want it to be. I don't want it to have the wrong feeling out there. When I started laughing, I wasn't laughing at the story. I'm laughing at our buddy Briggs Avalon saying, "Get that girl and do it again like a reunion show."
Briggs is on fire, man.
No surprise. Briggs is a genius. I love it. I love the idea. I love the idea. We'll do outing.
We revisit.
I would say we'll put a banner over it. Best in Show Radio presents. Best in Show Radio, a division of Heroes Talk presents.
Are you still in contact with that person? Oh, maybe I shouldn't ask.
Contact. All sorts of intimate contact.
The partnering that happened. The other teenager. I'm sure I could find her.
No. Does she still live on Staten Island?
I'm sorry, what?
Does she still live on Staten Island?
No. I don't think so.
Is she in this room with us right now?
No.
Was she on the porch when you passed the house? Waiting for you? Is that how you remembered?
Saying, where did she go? I'm thinking more and more about it. You probably got at the time of night that it's happening, and the teen lesbian sexness of it that's happening. You probably let it run its course.
You have to.
And then when it's done, when they're finished and smoking their cigarettes, then chase them away feeling good. Speaking Is there any possibility that you walk out, swollen member, standing there saying, hey, what's up?
I think you have a right to.
You guys need one of these?
You guys are using my property. You got to use all of it. You know?
That's the one time when you can... You can go and introduce yourself into that situation.
Exactly the next question I was going with. Let's say he's not even moderately. Let's say he's a good-looking guy. Some dude comes out saying, wait, what are you doing on my house? But he's nude and erect when he comes out there. Is there any chance that hijinks ensue?
Sure. Yeah. Why? Yeah. I mean, yeah. You're already this guy having know what he sex. Missed. It's not like you're opposed to the concept of sexual activity at that moment. So I suppose it's a possibility.
A probability?
I would not call it a probability that a complete stranger could introduce himself into the situation. But a possibility.
How about if you don't come inside into my bedroom right now, I'm calling the cops on you for a criminal trespass. What do you do?
Well, then that would be rape, and I would probably leave.
No, you would go to jail, because I would call the cops. I mean, call the cops on you.
But you're assuming...
That's great. When the police show up and say, okay, what is it you want to report? It's like, these teenage girls were naked. And the
Absolutely.
Cops are like, and
I want them to go to jail.
These teen girls were naked and wouldn't have sex with me. So.
I'm pressing charges. No, I wouldn't say that. Maybe they would, but they're crazy. Teenage girls naked on my front porch having sex.
And at what point does he have the heavy ball and shackle that he's locking them there? Because the minute that happened, they say, okay, peace. And they go up the street to the Jones's house and start banging in their pool or whatever it is that they want to do.
Their above ground pool.
Oh, my God.
The real question is how good looking and how erect does the guy have to be to get the play?
It's 3 a.m.
You know what I mean?
A semi should be sufficient at that time, right?
It's almost morning wood.
A middle-aged Bruce Willis and semi should be enough. I would think. Like, kind of balding and, like, maybe worse for wear. We're not talking moonlighting-age Bruce Willis. But we're also not we're not saying die-harder-age Bruce Willis. Why Bruce Willis is the measuring stick, I have no idea.
Because that always happens with him. He always finds that on his porch.
Oh, look at me.
Vanessa, what made you finally decide to leave? Was it that everything was completed, or was it like maybe we should get out of here kind of thing?
No, we finished up. We were there for a while.
Excellent.
Yeah, we were done. It was going to get light out, like, we were done.
Jeez.
Vanessa, you are so in trouble. How are you going to get over this one?
I was 18. I can't answer for things that happened 20 years ago.
Oh, I was going to say that happened 3 years ago.
Aw. Yeah, it's, you know, it was a long, long, long time ago.
Vanessa disappeared on me last night. I had no idea where she was until she text messaged me. Now I know where she was.
I'm on the porch. With your wife.
Let me soak that in. Sorry, Vanessa.
Well, Vanessa, thank you.
Well, no. I have the one big question that I'm sure has not been asked during this thing that just needs to get out there. While you're frolicking on these people's front porch, was there any ass eating? That's the only thing I'm concerned with.
Oh my god!
At least,
do you really want the answer, or should I just let you think what you're going to about it?
No, don't be Fred. Tell us the truth. Tell us the truth.
I don't recall specifically there being any
So there was. That's great. That's my favorite part of the entire story. Ass eating, and it was so good, you both started peeing. Fantastic. Vanessa, as always, an amazing report. An amazing report. If people want to check you out, they head over to VanessaCheatwood.blogspot. See, I never get it right. Blogspot.VanessaCheatwood? No, I was right the first time.
VanessaCheatwood.blogspot.com.
I'm going to learn about this Blogspot thing one day. Vanessa, as always, a fantastic report. Like, because this is news now. I hope
it's news to me.
I hope more than anything that this does not cause further problems for you. I hope maybe he's not listening today. God bless.
I hope it doesn't cause problems too. But yeah. All right. Next week.
Yeah. How do we top this?
Vanessa, if you don't have any stories that are as good as this, you're going to start having to figure out something to do during the week.
You're going to have to go out and live just a little bit more.
Just whatever the story is, just end it with ass eating and peeing, and it's fine. It doesn't make a difference what the story is. The new Britney Spears album is out this week. Ass eating and peeing. Thank you. Good night.
You're listening to Best in Show on Heroes Talk. This is DJ Newstyle from the DJ Newstyle Show. Make sure you're checking out our exclusive Tuesday night programming on HeroesTalk.com, or you might miss something like this.
You know what bugs me about some people? The person that says, I just can't seem to lose weight. And then the next time around you see them, they're f***ing, oh, I'll have a second piece of cake. What happened to you counting 700 calories for f***ing lunch and this and that? Come on, don't f***ing bull me. Okay, don't give me these f***ing nutrition figures and then suck down half an ice cream cake.
Every day, all I would eat is 2 Big Macs every day. Now, that's only 1,080 calories, well below 2,000, but I lose weight.
They weren't having it. You say the Whopper's gone, they were ready to burn the place down.
Right.
We need the sad music. Bobby, learn to ejaculate, Mike!
The DJ Newstyle Show is live every Tuesday, 9 to 11 p.m. on Heroes Talk. That's HeroesTalk.com. And in Pal Talk, the Heroes Talk radio chat room. The DJ Newstyle Show is proud to be a member of the Heroes Talk radio network.
Is there any better way to follow up a Vanessa story than Bobby learned how to ejaculate, Mike?
Big Mac eating. Make sure every story ends with Big Mac eating.
Oh, my God. And peeing.
So I have to thank my wife, who woke up from her hangover to send me the files that I failed to
accept.
No, I accepted them. That I failed to
drag,
put on my iPod, apparently. So
does that mean you have them right now?
Brian actually has them. So why don't we play? So let me set this up a little bit, because
for those that just tuned into our program, that program is Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be, the Sunday morning fantasy cavalcade, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Get us on the hotline, 877-744-6405. Get us on Instant Messenger, Best in Show Keith, Best in Show Chris, or Best in Show Brian. If you weren't here earlier, you missed Keith. Tell us about...
Previously on this episode of Best in Show. So what I did is I said that... I went into to find the tapes because I wanted to hear what I sounded like when I was on the radio, because my last college radio show, I guess, would be 1995, probably, is the last time I was on the radio. So that's, 13 years ago. So I wanted to hear what I was like, and I could not believe how insanely terrible I was on the radio.
Let me guess, the Staten Island accent is unbelievable.
No, the Brooklyn accent, because I had just moved here from Brooklyn within 4 years, is out of control. Now, I've made conscious efforts to change the way I talk to where it's become how I talk now.
I've made conscious efforts to change how I talk?
Yeah, well, talk. I'll always be the King of Queens wife on that one. I'll never be able to...
I wasn't aware of the fact that you were a DJ. I thought you were in a more production capacity at the college station.
He wasn't a DJ.
No, I was on air only. I didn't really do production stuff there.
Yeah, except I have a tape of you with our buddy Seth as his producer. So I thought you always were in production capacity.
That was just because I was running the board for him because he was doing the interview, that's all.
Yeah, there's no production in college radio.
Yeah, they had opportunities for it, but I was too busy. You know, I was busy being popular. So anyway, what I did is I went back to listen, and I couldn't believe how, if you think that I have a heavy New York accent now, you just listen to this. So Brian, why don't you play number one?
Voice is weird.
I was a good singer though. Alright, so I'll just talk about this song is ending now. And,
these are some clips.
It's, and by the way, that warped sound is because the tapes are so old and Chris's
porch. Well, from 1936, you know, these tapes are going to have a little bit of wear and tear on them.
Sounds like garbage.
World War II is broken out.
To WSIA Staten Island, that is subversive. Before that, we heard two from the Smiths, Meat Is Murder, and That Joke Isn't Funny Anymore, both from the Meat Is Murder album. And we got started off with Pearl Jam and Why Go, going out to Mike. And it is 9 p.m. As I said, you are listening to WSIA Staten Island. My name is Keith. If you have any requests, please give me a call, 982-3060. You want to keep the music going right now. This is the Happy Mondays with Bob Girocco, 982-3060, WSIA Staten Island.
Seriously, let's keep the music going. That's my favorite part about it. Let's keep the music going. I don't want to. I'm not going to stop the music.
He sounds like he's breathing in. He doesn't breathe. I don't think he breathes.
Oh, no. I got no problem with that. I thought he showed signs of genius.
Okay,
there.
So let me critique myself here. First of all, where's the race? Where is it I'm trying to get to? That I'm trying to... Two from the system for that.
Oh, I disagree. I thought you were very typical radio guy. I think you were a perfect DJ there. I think your voice was a little raspy, but that's your voice. So I mean, there's no problem. How long ago were these tapes?
1994. This was March of 1994.
So 14 years ago. 14 years ago. Still you were so old. I was in grammar school then.
Weren't you not born yet?
No. I was in the second grade. God, you're old.
Hi, this is Keith. You're listening to WSIA. He said, I need to keep the music going.
Yeah. No, it was kind of like it was a little lower.
By the way, Space Edge was 12. He was 12.
And you know what the funniest thing is? Like, you always say, you sometimes when I do like a pre-production thing, like when I used to do movie reviews, like you would say, why were you whispering? Was your wife sleeping during this? And then, but like, you see, I whispered in a radio station too now. Like,
see,
I don't know.
I call that breathy. Like you were kind of doing your sexy breathy.
Breathy.
Lower, yeah, that's it.
Also, I got to be honest, my favorite thing is, yeah, let's keep the music going. Let's keep the music going, you hack. Bob's you cliche hack.
I'm a DJ. I'm a radio DJ. See, the radio I love.
Yeah, it's fine. It was fine. I was impressed with that. Let's go on. You got something else?
Let's do the next one.
Oh, wait. Hold on. We'll have 40 seconds of music.
There's going to be a song. There's actually a full song in the middle of this one, which you're going to have to jump through, but unless Chris wants to hear it when he hears what it is. But go ahead.
Good song though. I haven't thought about this record in 100 years. Seriously, could somebody hook me up with a Tool record today? Because I would listen to this right now. Not this song per se.
I can.
You got that all? The one where he's
Tool at WSIA. That is the title track from Sober, of course, going out to Chris. Right now, it's time for Nightworks. On Thursday, March 31st, the Drovers will be at Wetlands Sam Black Church at CBGB's. Pseudo Hoodlum and Flounder will be at The Wave, and the Love Apaches and Cannibal Overdrive will be at The Spiral. Friday, April 1st, the Ramones and Frank Black will be at Roseland. Saturday, April 2nd, Carter, Greenberry Woods, and Lotion will be at Irving Plaza. The Creeps and Not For War are at The Wave. Sheer Terror, Killing Time, Social Distorter, and Marauder are at Lamore.
I'm so going to
and
see Sheer Terror.
Wednesday, April 6th, the Crash Test Dummies will be at the Academy. Thursday, April 7th, Human Drama will be at Under Acme. The Afghan Wigs and the Spinanes at the Academy. Friday, April 8th, Crowded House will be at Roseland. Saturday, April 9th, The Level is in Irving Plaza. King's X at CBGB's. And The Soft Parade at Lamore. And on Saturday, April 9th, Liz Phair will be at the Academy. And The Electric Funeral and A Dangerous Meeting will be at Wave Street. You are listening to WSIA Staten Island. And right now we have some requested music. This is Pseudo Hoodlum at WSIA.
Let it play. Let it play. My favorite band ever. No, don't really. Stop it.
Now, if you can pseudo hoodlums scan gonna be through the music, sure, fast forward. Do it on air so you can hear. It's fine.
Pseudo hoodlums totally going to be outro music in a couple of weeks.
I thought that was a fine job, by the way.
It's the Saved by the Bell song.
It's Kelly Kapowski.
Let them hear. Let them hear it for a second, because I talk about it.
One, two, three, Kapowski. You're the one that I adore. Never gonna let Slater treat you like a whore. Zach, step off, kid. You know that I'm ready to handle a relationship with your sister, for Kelly. Ooh, if I was saved by the bell. I know it's only TV, but her sweeper through my smell. If only through my TV I could reach. I know that I'll be bitten by Samuel Power's creech. And my mom's Nova will ride. I'll take you from getting and roll you on your face side. Then I'll make you relax by meeting up with Jesse, Cheryl, Milchie at the Max. Kelly, but you are my dreams. You think I do that for a bitch at Lisa Turtle? No, it is you that caught my eye. So pour your white trash, but I think you're real fly.
Oh my god, here it goes.
And it goes, oh, wow, wow, wow.
Yippee-yo, yippee-yowski. I'm in love with Kelly Kapowski.
Kelly,
the cat's meow, and I just want to say, kapow. Seriously, pseudo hoodlum, bro. What's
my favorite line is coming up. Ass, yours is fine.
Wow, such a bad quality tape.
Oh yeah, it's horrible. And it's also that the 4-track doesn't play well.
I gotta give Seth Dogg, singer of the band, a call.
I was drowning. You are my lifeguard. You were tanning your body that doesn't own an ounce of lard. Ass, yours is fine. Never saw a Polish girl with such a fly behind. Kelly.
Never saw a Polish girl with such a fly behind. He's never seen a girl, obviously.
And if I had a gun, I'd take him out one by one so we could have some fun.
Does that mean her behind's in the front? She's really Polish? Bother.
But if she asked, you're her children, I would father.
Coming up on the real time.
And it goes, oh, wow, 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 yippee-yo, yippee-yowski. I'm in love with Kelly Kapowski. Kelly, you're the cat's meow, and I just want to say, kapow.
I can't believe we're singing along to pseudo hoodlum in 2008.
You're the cat's meow, and I just want to say,
kapow.
WSIA Staten Island, that is local band. Pseudo Hoodlum with Kapow, a song about Kelly Kapowski, a character, of course, on Saved by the Bell. And Parrish is here with me, and let me ask you, do you really like that show? Did you ever watch it?
The show, no, but...
Well, all right, I'll agree that she's, you know, she's a nice-looking girl. But I forgot the actress's name anyway. But the show is really bad. And the thing I hate about that show the most is that, well, if you ever watched it, those five kids...
Yes.
Well, the four kids, they're the only ones that do anything, whether it's the high school radio station, they're doing it, the high school quiz team, the swimming team, whatever it is, you know, the other kids in that school really don't have a life, and, you know, just glad I didn't go to that high school. Anyway, this is going out to Parrish. This is Concrete Blonde with Bloodletting at WSIA Staten Island.
I will say right off the bat, not even right off the bat, I will say just blatantly, skills. Skills.
Talking about
I'm doing a Saved by the Bell bit on a amateur college radio station. Oh wait, no, I meant Seth just kicking it live during that song was my favorite thing. But yeah, that was great.
By the way, that I texted Brian about Save. I asked him recently. He probably doesn't know what I'm talking about. I said I actually left both you guys messages. I wanted to know the show where we were talking about Saved by the Bell recently because I went through the exact same complaint 2 weeks ago, and that's what I wanted. My intention was to use this as 1994, me saying it, and 2008, and me saying the same exact thing.
Please tell me you isolated it and found it.
No, I didn't find it.
Were you high when you were doing these? Be honest.
No. Like, yeah, definitely not. Definitely not.
It's pre-drug age.
I might even say I'd never smoked. I had barely smoked pot ever at this point, even in my life.
I think that's a lie.
No, I had, but barely. I didn't.
Because I think if you were at the college at the radio station, I hung out at the college sometime.
1994
ish, and I definitely smoked some pot with you at that very college. We go hang up by the chocolate milk fountains and go smoke some things during the day.
What's
so
a chocolate milk fountain?
College of Staten Island, bro. The finest college and the finest borough in the history of the world. It was just under construction. They hadn't figured out the plumbing yet, so the fountains that were shooting water were filled with mud. So they were chocolate milk fountains.
Yeah, but I didn't do any drugs until 1994 anyway, so...
You definitely smoked pot with us.
It was 1994.
That day, right before you were on the air, you did it. By the way, our friend wrote a song when we were at there, just on a different note. It said, "My bonnet is hanging out by the chocolate milk fountains," and that has no bearing to anyone other than me, and it's my favorite thing in the world. And like, I don't even think Keith remembers that, because you kind of looked at me with a blank look. But
no, I remember that.
Him singing about the chocolate milk fountains is great. Anyway, sorry. Hey, I love it. I'm telling you, I think you showed your chops. I think you showed that you were capable of coming in and saying, "Previously on Worst in Show."
Well, that's what it is. It's sobriety. It's the clean, unpiercing view of sobriety that really makes him a better radio DJ.
And I just want it to be noted, no space edge. The reference to the chocolate milk fountain had nothing to do with a pre-segregation reference. It's not what that was. It was something totally different.
I was just amazed that Keith went to college at Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory. What's going on here?
I'm amazed that I went to college. I have 22 credits to show from 4 years of college.
You have any more, Brian?
No, that's it.
That's all I was able to dig up.
I thought he sounded a little like a mortician.
If you guys are into it, maybe in a couple weeks I'll have some more for you if I can find something worth it.
I would love the idea, week in and week out, Keith's radio break every week. Find one good song to throw a break in the middle of the show with your intro and outro from that song. Phenomenal.
I will say.
We're going to send it to me because I want to punch up the quality so it sounds nicer, because these sound like ass on a stick. But with the nice quality, I think that's great. I would love to do that.
I will compliment myself. I did play pretty good music.
Yeah, obviously. Pseudo hoodlum.
I played stuff I like. I liked stuff that I played.
It's weird that you like that DJ played songs you like.
He's perfect for me, that guy. Except for Pearl Jam, that was going out to Mike.
What was Pearl Jam?
Oh my God!
Was I the Chris? My Pearl Jam that song too.
Sure.
No, it wasn't me.
You've called my show when I was on the air. I know you don't remember this, but you were driving around with
Joe, and I was asking you to play Dream Warriors.
No,
damn.
You were driving around with
something.
A friend of ours, close a friend of yours, a girl named Eileen, and she used to listen to my show, and you were calling my show repeatedly asking me to play the Beastie Boys and something else. And I barely knew you at the time. I had barely met you at
Bro,
the time.
Bro, play me a Beastie Boys song or whatever as a chaser. There's something else after it.
But I just love the idea that you kept stopping at payphones to call because it was the early 90s.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even have a beeper at that point.
You didn't even... Yeah, you could have just paged me. I would have called you back. All right, what do you want to hear?
What? Did you join your prop bells? No, I'm not going to go that route.
Yeah, but... I don't know. Radio.
That was great.
I'm telling you, I love more than anything else to hear one of those every week. I love the idea of the Keith college music break every week. Love it.
I'm with Chris too. I think you did an excellent job. I was pretty floored by the quality.
At the very least, the quality of his content. Yeah. It was. And you were on point. I think you showed what you can do. I like it. You got a job, kid. You're hired. You're officially our best in show now as a result of this. This is a great demo team.
I think you guys should just compliment me for the next hour. I'll sit here and take it. I'll take it like a man.
So your choice of playing that Smith song, stupid. Okay.
It was Meat is Murder. That was for you.
Oh, wait. No, good. Good idea.
And that joke isn't funny anymore. That was for Fred.
Oh, ouch. Ouch.
He left the room. Normally that one goes to Brian, but I nailed Brian a little too much lately.
Fred just came in the room saying, "I heard that."
The best is that means Fred's just standing outside rather than being on the show.
Awesome. Anyway, my wife might even be in the shower, and that's what's taking him so long to go to the bathroom. Ooh, is this going to turn into one of those?
This is going to be Fred's story next week.
I was saying, this is one of those stories that my wife's not supposed to tell on the air. Is that what's coming up next? Awesome. I love it. Fantastic. Fantastic program we've been having so far here on Best in Show, bestinshowradio.com, here on Heroes Talk, the thing you do with your ears and the place to be. I'm a tremendous fan of everything we've been doing thus far. I don't know if we've mentioned it at all this past weekend, although Vanessa did. Happy Independence to all of us. This weekend was the 4th of July. It's our America's birthday.
Happy birthday, America.
Happy birthday, America, exactly. And for the 4th of July, which angle do I go? I go with the angle of I had a few people in my backyard for a little bit of a barbecue. A minor, minor barbecue, just a couple of members of my family, a couple of friends came by. And by a couple of friends, I mean, like, you know, some of my wife's cousins and my dad, and, you know, a few people like that came to my house, had this barbecue in my backyard. And I haven't mentioned at all anything about how I feel, about how I'm sore and I've got broken down muscles, and I'll talk about that all later. We'll explain that later. But for my 4th of July barbecue, as we're in the backyard hanging out, eating our potato salad and whatnot, the people in the yard next to ours, one of the kids brought his guitar down and started playing guitar in the backyard. You know, obviously playing classic Metallica songs and Led Zeppelin songs and things like that.
Acoustic guitar or electric?
No, electric, bro.
With an amp?
He was distorted. He was good to go. He was doing a show for his friends. And dare I say, he was like a 13-year-old kid that learned how to play 2 weeks ago and was missing two fingers. It was unbelievably
what?
Hideous. Well, I don't know that he was, but it's what he sounded like. I can only go with what it sounded like.
Oh, okay, okay.
But it was unbelievably frustrating and weird and crazy to be a dude in a backyard abutted against a backyard listening to guitar rock, not necessarily rocking so much. And I found it to be the most... Brix Avalon, I thought he was deaf. Actually, he said I heard he was deaf.
Yeah.
It was the most irritating thing in the world to be next to this dude, like, thinking like he's, like, rocking out for his friends. Like, he played the Star Spangled Banner at one point, trying to do the Hendrix version of it really poorly.
Did you take your hat off, please? Tell me. And put it to your chest when he did that.
I probably yelled a bunch of times, "America is shamed," or something along those lines while it was happening.
He took two hot dog buns and put them in his ears.
Yeah.
Was he shredding? Sorry.
Don't get me wrong. The kid seemed to have some sort of fingering skills. Not Vanessa's story. This is something different. Had some sort of fingering skills, but they were... he couldn't figure out how to tune his guitar. So it was just, it was awful. It was painful to listen to this entire thing the whole time. My dad kept saying, "Why don't you go inside and get a guitar and stop battling with him?"
Oh my God, if you had gotten your guitar and played with him and jammed.
And then I said to my dad, "I'm 35. No, I won't be.
See, that was what I was taking. My eyes instantly rolled when you said, "And the guy grabbed his guitar and sat down to play in front of everyone in the party." I was just like, oh. I don't know who this person is. I hate him. Or her, or whoever it is. It's just the thought of someone saying, "Yes, okay, it's time now. Everybody gather around, listen to me play my guitar."
Oh, well, that's the thing. They were lighting fireworks, and they had music on, and he was blatantly disregarding and doing his own thing.
Jesus.
Like they were like, I'm trying to think what song was on. Like some Creedence song that I was so pleased with. So it was really great for him. No, it wasn't even that. Some sort of Creedence song was playing on the radio.
That's good, because that's a great song. I'd be mad at you if you didn't like it.
They're lighting some sort of fireworks off, and he's playing "Thank You" by Led Zeppelin at the same time. Blatant disregard for what's going on. I was like, wait, so you honestly have no sense of tonality and music and hearing something and not being thrown off by something else being played?
I would have doused him with lighter fluid and set him on fire with a Roman candle.
Equinox has pointed out I should have went up and grabbed the guitar and torn things up Church of Man Love style, but I didn't.
Well, that's what I was going to say. At any point, Chris, did you say you're playing it all wrong in your head?
Oh, in my head? Yeah. Absolutely. That's all the time. I was like, oh my God, please, dude.
It's an A, not a C.
No, go.
That's awful. I was in a similar experience where I'm having a good time with a group of people, and then all of a sudden the guy breaks out the bongos, and it's a drum circle. Wow. I just want to choke those people. It really makes me angry. Like, even if they were talented, it just makes me angry that they're going to...
Oh, sorry. I thought we were starting a drum circle. I didn't realize.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo.
You went into, like, an Indian drum circle there.
We're
doing a rain dance. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that I've had friends that did that... that used to do that. But it always was fun, though. And I was never involved. But it was always fun when I always liked it when people did that.
By the way, our buddy Spickle in the chat room, burning a friend alive with a Roman candle. It's kind of like Burning Man for the holidays. I love the idea of it. Like,
it's
true
America.
Burning Man.
It's America. This is July 4th. I was in the spirit of things.
Yeah. And it just made me think how much it sucks to be the guy living next door to that. because I was the guy and it sucked. And I'm thinking, God, what has it got to be Ron Hill's neighbor that he decides that he's going to put a concert on in his backyard?
Speaking of, by the way, since Equinox brought it up, I guess we can announce that Best in Show Radio will be on, I believe, the Sunday before Labor Day is August 31st. I'm not 100% sure. Best in Show Radio will be broadcast live from the Ron Hill Concert Arena that day. And Fred sighs angrily. We'll be live from the Ron Hill Concert Arena to be followed by live music featuring some bands, including the Church of Manlove, which will be streamed out onto Ustream.
What day is
this? Pal Talk, August 31st. Oh, it's the day before Labor Day. Yeah, I know you're busy that day. You're going camping. Fred, how was your camping trip, by the way?
Look at the look at these look at this farmer's tan. It'll tell the sign.
So I found out a little more information. Fred actually talked to me off the air for the first time in my life. It was a little creepy. But
just keep saying ill, stop, hang
it
up.
It was a little weird. But he told me a little about his camping trip, and it was something about like going to being supported by a where did you go camping? What was the name of the place?
It was a KOA. It's like a children's type of camping place.
KOA. Could you describe what that means?
Well, it has like an in-ground pool, a good bathroom.
What does KOA stand for?
I don't know. I don't even know.
Knights of America?
Camping out in America.
Camping with a K.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's camping.
Camping with a K is my favorite Nazi camping guide.
But the thing is, if you're at a KOA, it's a family site, so you have to be quiet at 11 o'clock. And we're with, you know, raging alcoholics that, you know, cannot be quiet at 11 o'clock. So we've gotten a lot of trouble.
I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to answer honestly.
Okay.
Was there marijuana involved?
Yes.
And I thought so.
And flip cup.
First step is admitting you have a problem. By the way, can I just bring up that at the party yesterday, Fred and I are sitting down. And Fred leans over and says to me, where are all these kids going to get out of here? First of all, as Vanessa pointed out to him, there's one child at the party.
No, there was
one child that was 22?
There was one child and his little brother. The little brother was gone already at that point. So there's one child at the party. And Fred goes to me, when are these kids going to get out of here already? I want to smoke pot.
So? You didn't take my ex that I offered you.
You can't smoke pot.
Not for nothing. You think it's appropriate to tell a reformed to offer a reformed junkie some sort of barbiturate?
Yeah, if he wants to have a good time,
he didn't really have it on him.
He's a grown up.
That's not what I'm saying. You don't think there's something wrong with the fact that a dude who's been through rehab that you're offering him a barbiturate
enabler?
No, because I'm going to test his willpower.
Oh, Jesus. Wait, so you don't think there's anything wrong with it?
Well, I'm offering.
I'm asking you. Or do you think there's anything wrong with it?
If I did have
my hand is under the table, open, waiting for you to offer something. Is there anything wrong with it?
If I honestly did have anything on me and I offered it, I think it would be wrong. The fact that I was, you know, didn't have anything on me, and
so it was a test.
Yes,
Keith, you passed. You did flying colors.
No, actually, Vanessa passed as a friend.
Yeah, I didn't even get. I didn't even get a chance to tell him. No, Vanessa was about to get up and hit him when he said.
By the way, when I stepped out of the room to go to the restroom, you were talking about the big Best in Show rock concert event. Is that strictly going to be a Best in Show event, or is that going to be a Heroes Talk event?
It's a Heroes Talk event.
Is there any possibility that members of the Heroes Talk family that are not Best in Show will be involved, or are they not confirmed as of yet?
I've put it out there. I haven't got a confirmation or a declination yet. So, Declination of Independence.
Declination of Independence. I was celebrating that.
Weekend. Never forget.
Well, I can tell you that the Wahoo...
You could tell us that if you turned your mic on, we'd hear you.
I could tell you that the Wahoo Crazy Skiffles will not be playing the show.
I know that. I got that idea when I asked them and they ignored me.
Well, because...
Thank God.
Because we quit. Me, Chris, Zick, and Nikki have left the band.
Really?
Yes.
Not true.
Totally true. I guess there was some, I don't even care, I didn't even care to read it, but on our groups page on MySpace, I mean, Chris and Nikki are, don't want to play a lot of shows, and they want to play a lot of shows, so there was some words back and forth on our
publicly?
MySpace, not publicly, privately on our, like, official MySpace page.
Well, that's not,
Fred is the happiest man on earth
and
right now.
Dude, I woke up maybe Wednesday morning, and my wife says, we're not in the band anymore. And I didn't even ask why. I said, okay, great. And that's it. And then she...
Wait, Fred, can I interrupt you for a moment? Just sit back and breathe. I got to talk to my friend Keith for a second. Keith?
Yeah.
Are we offered to offer an opportunity to three people to join the Church of Man Love as we become the greatest gay jug band ever in the history of America?
I was going to just beg the three of them to perform that day. I would love it more than anything in the world. If you'd prefer to join the Church of Man Love, that's fine too. But
I'm asking, and this is all thought. They can't hear us. This is me and you privately. We're going to have to turn the show back on in a couple minutes. I think it'd be great if we had a bucket bass and a stump fiddle. And a man. What does Chris play? Guitar?
Banjo.
Okay, and a banjo in the Church of Man Love.
I think it'd be excellent.
I'm just saying. I think there's something there. Or we get this new group called. Wait, what was the old group called? The Wahoo Skiffle Crazies or Wahoo Crazy Skiffles?
The Church of Jugs.
No, that's a different band. What's the name of the old band, Fred?
Wahoo Skiffle Crazies, I think.
Why don't we call Wahoo Skiffle Crazies?
Yeah.
The Wahoo Crazy Skiffles. We get them to play, and they cover Wahoo Crazy Skiffle bands.
You don't even know how happy I am, like, when I woke up. I didn't even know the drama. I know Chris and the lead singer had some words, and we're all out, thank God.
I'm going to start practicing up on my garbage bass because apparently there's some openings in the Wahoo Crazy Skiffles. Can I borrow yours for a while?
No, Skiffle practice? Crazies.
I got my days back. Now I just need to, you know,
get your Sundays back. As soon as you get your Sundays back, you're happy. Oh, stepped on your line. You so wanted it. and I stole it. Damn.
That's why he wants his Sundays back.
The Church of Man Jugs.
You know what? If anyone watched the video, that was definitely, for the most part, the Church of Man Jugs. At least three of us. two of them being in this room.
Four jugs.
I want it to be pointed out. We're doing jokes for the radio. I'm tremendously fat. I have no breasts. I am flat-chested, and I would not like it to be said that I am jugged.
Can you show to the camera right now? Because I think you have some boobs.
You got a B cup at least.
I mean, you don't have Keith C cups, but you've got some.
Oh, you're pretty flat chested. Wow.
You know what? Put your arms down, because that's kind of
still.
It's not squeeze bad. Them together. Squeeze your arms together.
Wow, he's really flat chested.
I am flat chested. The thing is, when I was a young man who used to work out, I could never get any sort of chest, because there was a time that I actually did work out pretty frantically as a teenager. I
couldn't build the pecs.
I could never get any sort of chest, and that's why if you look at our famous picture, as I try and turn it, well, whatever, it's something.
I got some tits, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah,
Keith is lactating.
But if you look at pictures of me, there's pictures of me available with my old band when I weighed about 120 pounds. And even in those pictures, I'm the skinniest dude on earth. I still have slight sagging in the breast area.
Well, I have a question about that, guys. Now, since we quit the band and Chris has wrote maybe three or four songs, as a band, do you still play the songs that someone wrote?
They shouldn't.
Chris, what do you think about that? Do you still play the songs that the person that the band wrote?
Speaking as someone that was a member of a group that you were a part of, there was actually a meeting when I left your old group, the Monty Love, about me saying, hey, you guys can't play this anymore because it's mine. And there was a certain air of like, I thought we had that. That was a song for the band now. I thought it was part of that entity, and we get it. And I took those songs back, and they changed one note and kept them, but still.
Wasn't the same song.
Right, it was different. It was the instead of being the source, it was the new source with one note different.
Well, what would you do though, Chris?
If I was in the band,
yes,
I would like to eradicate everything of the past members. But that's me.
Okay,
their lives.
By eradicate, I mean like you know your home, your family,
your nationality.
Oh yeah, yeah, genocide of whatever race you are.
Brian, you what if you were in a band and the band member quit that wrote all the good songs? Do you still play those good songs?
Do I still? I think it's up to him to say if it's okay. But yeah, I'd say if I was that guy, I'd let him play it.
We're talking about a jug band. You didn't say good songs. This is crazy talk.
Originals.
Yeah, the band. One member of the band does not own the rights to that song. Chris, you had no right to say don't play this song.
I wrote it.
Sorry. that's there. It's a...
No, it's not.
Let me put it this way. Was it Monty Love is the band that we're talking about?
Well, for me, it was, yes.
You wrote that song and gave it to Monty Love. That
no,
you
I did
walked
not.
Away. You can't take it with you. It's a gift. It's a Monty Love song.
Not true.
When you wrote it, Chris wrote it.
And you could say Schiavo. That's my name. I don't care.
Sorry. And gave it to Monty Love, and Monty Love played it. Probably live, maybe put it on a record?
No.
Oh.
That was the thing. It was not on a record. They were my songs. I actually, the original, one of the original songs that was not used actually became one of my new band songs after that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of my new old band songs. This is getting very convoluted. But yeah, no, it's not a, it's, no.
Well,
if I wrote a song, it's my song.
What about you, Keith? You wrote a song. It's a good song for a band, but you leave the band. Are you expecting them to still play that song? And if they do play that song and you sing it, what do you do, Keith?
If Pink Floyd today plays a song off of Pipers at the Gates of Dawn, it's stupid. They shouldn't be doing that.
Pink Floyd using the name Pink Floyd is stupid, though. So, you know, like that's a whole other issue
agreed,
with that
agreed,
band. But.
Agreed. But they don't do that. They don't do that.
Totally.
But although they
play Astronomy Domini, they play.
Still. Really?
Yeah. Well, in the 70s they did. They don't play
say,
it now.
I never.
Well, Roger Waters isn't in the band anymore, though. So
yeah. But they did when Roger Waters was around. They play a lot. They play uh-huh. some of the really early ones all the time. I mean, it wasn't theirs. It's Pink Floyd. It's Pink Floyd's band.
See, I wrote See Emily Play, and they still do that song. So
you see, I agree with Chris. I think if you wrote and wrote all the words and the score of the song, the music, everything, you don't play that song anymore. When
well, can I ask? I don't know. Well, I guess it's his personal business. I don't want to air it out. I would love if he's listening for Chris to call and tell us his opinion on whether
he
or
stopped,
not
he stopped listening to our show ever since Rock the Harbor. He doesn't take part. In our
I would
show
love
anymore.
To bring up a link of the actual the note that sent it over the edge. I mean, that's pretty funny. But
I love Jug Band Wars.
Nice. Love
Keith, what's your opinion now? Do you think they should still play the song?
I don't think they should play them. I don't think so. Especially if it's a thing kind of like, hey guys, you know what? I really don't want to leave the band, but I kind of have to, kind of thing. Then it's kind of okay. But like if it's like an angry kind of breakup, then I don't think they should play the song anymore.
I don't want them leaving the band.
I didn't say if it's a grisly bear breakup.
No, that would be roar, roar. Grizzly bears don't speak English.
Well, speaking of animals, I have a game show about Brian.
Do I have to play?
You and Chris are playing.
Me and me, both.
Yep.
Are you doing a commercial?
No.
Fred last night said to me, "Please just bring the game show music tomorrow." I said, "No problem."
And of course, he did. Well, Chris and Keith are going to play. What would Brian do? I called Brian up the other night for the first time in my life. It was kind of weird. Right, Brian?
It was creepy.
Yeah.
Brian, did you know when he was asking you these questions that it was set up for a game show on the air?
I knew that he was working on something on the show, but I wasn't privy until this happened after the fact.
So you answered questions thinking in your mind that it was fodder for a game show, or thinking it was fodder for the show, but not knowing exactly what.
There was a part of me trying to cycle through his technical prowess, wondering if he was actually recording the conversation, which I'm hoping he's
no,
not.
I'm just trying to temper my mind at this point with what your knowledge was, because I'm sorry, Brian. Much like Fred, I think the on-air persona versus who you actually are in real life might be two different people.
No, that's not true.
Well, it is true that I think it.
Okay.
You love throwing water on games, don't you?
Okay, why would I
answer truth. Let me put it this way. If there's any concern, let me lighten your load. If there's any concern out there, I answer truthfully to these questions.
And I think your truth is usually lies.
Okay.
Jesus.
Then I lied.
Sorry, I'm just trying to set the stage. I'm trying to get myself in the right mindset to go through this game. Sorry, it's a game show.
How about what would fake Brian do? Does that make you feel better?
But is it fake or double anti-fake Brian, based on the questions he's being asked? Sorry, Fred.
Well, I called up Brian, and I said, Brian, if I was in a dire situation, how much money would you feel comfortable lending me? If I was in a dire situation. Now, it's multiple choice.
Is it to kill a child or feed the child?
whatever your dire situation is, you know. Is it $0, $100, $500, or $1,000? I asked Brian, I'm in a dire situation. How much money do you feel comfortable lending me?
Comfortable.
I should be clear. These were not presented to me in a multiple choice. I just answered freely.
Right. He's offering us a multiple choice.
I have my answer.
Comfortable is tough.
How are we answering here? We're just blurting out our answers?
If you want let Chris think a little bit before.
No. What's your answer? I already have my answer.
I have mine too.
$100.
I believe $500 actually.
$100.
I believe dire situation. I don't think Brian is necessarily, not that I would have any reason to know, I don't think he's necessarily a cheap guy. I think in a dire situation, I think he is a good friend.
I'm not saying that he wouldn't. That's why my question was comfortable.
$0.
It's not that
he's a normal human being, $0.
Because you know what? I've been uncomfortable with the amount I've loaned people, but loan them because I'm a good guy.
Well, I say $500.
Yeah, I'm saying comfortably, I say $100, and I don't think he's being truthful if he says more than that.
Are we letting Brian answer, or are you giving the answers?
I'll give the answers. What do you think? So, Chris is saying $100. You're saying Keith is saying $500.
Right.
The answer is $100.
Thank you.
What a cheapo. I'm in a dire situation. And I gave him like a situation like my wife was like kidnapped.
Now, wait a second. Wait a minute.
He said $100. I'm like, what?
Now, Fred's being a little Fred here with this one.
Wait, but back to my point. He didn't say he wouldn't. He said, what would he be comfortable with? Because I would be comfortable with loaning $4 to people, but I've loaned substantial amounts more than that. It's just what you're comfortable with.
Well, Chris, on a side note, how much do you think Brian would lend you more money, feel comfortable lending you more money, or Keith more money? Who do you think, just as this is a side bet.
I think he'd be more comfortable loaning Chris money, because I just think he would.
I think he would be more...
WWBD.
I think he'd be more comfortable with the ability to pay back that I have, but I think his relationship with Keith is more intimate, that I think he'd be more comfortable loaning it to
him. I do give him hand jobs all the time.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I think he believes that I have the ability to... I'd probably have more money to give back if I was borrowing, but I think he'd be more comfortable with Keith because of his relationship.
You see,
with
Chris is kind of right and kind of wrong, because he did say, Brian said he'd feel comfortable lending you more money than Keith would.
Wow. Oh, that was actually a question.
Yeah. So, well, no, not in the game. That was just a side note. That was a 1B.
He's got a lot of side notes.
and the reason being, Brian, because I make more money?
There were a couple of reasons to go into this. And, I mean, the thing that I hate about these questions and fielding them on the air is there's really no way not to insult people
I'm not paying you back.
Well, first of all, I want to take a step back. He proposed it originally as a question. Brian, how much would you feel lending me comfortably? And I was like, I don't know, I guess $100. And then he's like, are you kidding me? My wife is kidnapped. I got like a gambling debt or something like that. How much do you leave me? And I basically just
great game show music, by the way.
Are you being facetious?
I wouldn't feel comfortable about it, but I'd lend you more money if you were in a dire situation, and just know that I'd never get it back. Along those lines, I think I'd be comfortable lending Chris more money, knowing that I'd get it back. Knowing that Chris is the kind of guy who, first of all, has more access to it, but secondly, will go into debt.
Holds the grudge. And this would be the double anti reverse grudge, and I refuse to stay indebted to anyone.
He'll stop paying bills to the electric company. He'll like go into debt for something like that in order to pay this like moral debt against just a friend or a family member that he lent money from.
Whereas Keith is a scumbag, piece of garbage that wouldn't do anything for anybody.
I would almost suggest that Keith is probably the smarter. I'm guessing that Keith is probably smarter and realizing that the actual debt, the substantial amount of debt that the government would be collecting on him, and actual real debtors and the damage that they could do to you is more genuine than what I could do to you. So you'd probably end up paying the real debt.
You break my legs.
So you're smart, I'm stupid, I win.
So I'd lend you more money.
Did you think you were going to get complimented, Chris? Did you honestly think you were going to get complimented on this show?
It is. I guess it's a little backhanded compliment, but I'd feel comfortable lending you more money.
Hey, well, bro, ironically, I need someone to loan me some of the beers from the kitchen right now.
I wish more than anything that Fred called up Brian and said, "Hey, Brian, how much money would you be comfortable lending me?" And that's how he began the conversation.
So what are the odds of this next question that you bring up, you doing it very slow because I wasn't lying? I'm going to the kitchen to buy beer.
Brian's hey, can I add can you have that?
Yeah.
Thanks.
A bunch.
Well,
the question, how many? I answer, a bunch.
Well, let me take that off of the what would Brian do number five question.
Awesome.
Number two.
Honestly, he did more than I thought he would do by going to get me beers.
Well, I'll tell you. Chris is winning 1-0.
Indeed, I am crushing.
1-0.
I'm getting killed.
Here's number two. If a hot girl came up to Brian and wanted sex, and no one would ever find out, not even his girl of 3 years, would Brian have sex with her? What would Brian do?
Absolutely not.
Nope, 100% not.
Would he do it?
I think if Brian was single, he wouldn't necessarily have sex with her.
How did a bunch turn into one beer?
Listen to the multiple choice. Does he do her? Does he not do her? Or does he do her and is so racked with guilt, he winds up telling her? Those are the multiple choices. Does he do her? Does he not do her? Or does he do her and is so riddled with guilt that he winds up telling her anyway?
He doesn't do her.
He cannot be caught. If a hot girl came up to him and he was never going to be caught.
I want so bad to say that he wouldn't do her, but for some reason I hear Brian telling you, I would do her, but I'd probably be so wrapped up. I can hear him saying those words, but you know what? I'm still going to say I don't think he would.
Both of you saying he doesn't do her.
He doesn't do her.
You're both right. He does not do her.
Of course not.
I think that was easy. That was an easy one.
Good
that
for you, fag.
You know why it wasn't easy? It's because of the wording that he used with choice number three, which made it feel like for a minute, like, hey, wait, maybe Brian would say that, but no. Yeah, I can't imagine that.
So it's 2-1.
We should have also known that.
2-1, dude. I am destroying you.
I wouldn't find any enjoyment out of it. That's really what it comes right down to.
Angelina Jolie. This is the hottest girl you've ever seen. You're still not doing her?
No, there's...
Even though you can't...
Her pee tastes like cotton candy.
It's like a switch that's out of my head. I'm not going to cheat on
ass
on
eating. Did I forget to mention ass eating?
Well, let me just pose the question to Chris and Keith. Hottest girl you've ever seen comes up to you, wants to do you, and she says, no one will ever find out. And no one will ever find out. Do you do it?
Let's just say that opportunity has already presented itself to me last week after the show when I was here with Keith. I turned it down.
You turned it down?
No, of course. I love my wife more than anything in the world.
I don't think that was an answer.
It's the best answer you're going to get on the air.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
All right. Thanks. Number three.
That's Fred's lie of the week. Twice.
You can tell the fact that I just mouthed to you, I definitely would.
Yeah, but I'm the animal.
Number three.
No, I wouldn't.
Brian has to fire someone from the show. Who is it? Chris, Keith, Vanessa, or Fred?
Fred.
Wow, not even like a thought.
Wait, let's point out. He was also talking to Fred at the time.
I think he would fire Fred because he wouldn't fire me or you.
See, the thing is, I think he might harbor a little bit of enjoyment out of firing me.
I think he would, but I think he Brian for the sake of best in show wouldn't fire either of us.
So you're saying that Fred is insignificant.
I'm not saying that.
You both just said that in about the past 15 seconds.
Yeah,
I'm not saying
no,
that.
I'm saying Brian said that, bro. Yeah. Because if I had a choice of firing anyone in the show, it would be Fred.
I think he wouldn't fire one of the two original hosts. That's what I'm saying. See, and he wouldn't fire Vanessa. There would be no reason to fire Vanessa.
Honestly, he would fire Monty. I'd say he would fire Monty.
This is a no-brainer. This has got to be Fred.
Fred, you're saying Fred? You're both wrong. Brian said Vanessa.
I'm sorry, Vanessa. I'm so sorry, Vanessa. But if I had to nick someone, it would have to be someone who's not sitting at the table.
She's driving. She's driving right now, so you won't hear this.
It's all right.
Wow.
I'm going to tell her, I mean, but...
It's awful. I felt awful about it, but I had to put it to... And in all honesty, I'm not even sure if that's the smart move, because, I mean, she pretty much is our only organization. She's the only, like, thing that we have.
Keith, you have... At 1 hour and 20... Or 2 hours and 29 minutes, you have the thing that you should put on loop for previously next week. Just play that over and over again to start the show. I would fire Vanessa. I would fire Vanessa.
I'd have to... I mean, my concept is... I mean, as she's critical to the show, but the fact that she's only, for all intents and purposes, here for, say, a half an hour to an hour, That's the appendage.
Least impact.
That seems to be the appendage that would be least.
By the way, Rob Giggs points out in the Heroes Talk chat room, only organization. What about me?
Yeah, what about you, Rob?
Well, I did.
It's one of his 2 weeks off. It's one of his 2 weeks off. He's on the top.
I did pose the question to Brian if Rob Giggs was in the equation, and he said Giggs in a second. Like, he said Giggs would be out.
Sorry, Giggs, I'd have to. It's not that I don't like you. It's like where you haven't poured yourself into this. As closely we could circumvent and get around you, it would be the least painful extraction.
Time out.
I disagree.
WWE.
I think he is slowly going to become a... I'm not expecting
I'm talking
a
right
out,
now.
Sorry.
I'm not...
Time out. Keith?
Yeah. Who's, both of them before gigs.
Who's the one? Yeah? I will go so far as to say...
Who's coming up with this game show?
Not gigs. Definitely not gigs.
Well, I want to be clear. Fred never presented Brian as a possibility to my choice, because I probably would have nixed Brian a long time before gigs or Vanessa or Freddie.
Yeah.
He almost covered up, right?
Out of that one.
He almost covered up?
Yeah, almost. Here's number 3B. Who do you guys think he would pick between... who do you think Brian would pick between Chris and Keith to leave the show? 3B. Chris, who do you think he'd pick? You or Keith? If he had to pick one to fire.
I think he'd fire me.
Keith? Who do you think Brian would fire? What do you think he would do? Fire you or fire Chris? If he had to fire one of you.
One of us? Or he would fire me.
The problem is, I think that Keith and I both bring something strong to the table. Mm-hmm. Strong enough to support a show. On our own.
Strong enough to keep us drunk through the show.
But no, but seriously, strong enough to support a show no matter what. I think the show would be more pleasurable for Brian to deal with without me here than without Keith here.
Okay.
So that's why I think he's going to fire me.
Keith, you want to elaborate on your decision that he fires you?
Keith's saying, I think, can I, even though you asked Keith, yeah, can I answer,
yeah,
for
I
him?
Can answer him?
Keith,
can you talk like me?
Hey, next is coming up the Meat Puppets. This one's called Rock Me Amadeus.
I found 3 different tapes of me playing the Meat Puppets, by the way. But go ahead.
Kind of like Rock Me Amadeus. Like, that's the song I come up with, which is by the Meat Puppets.
He definitely played it. You know he did.
I definitely played that.
But I'm going to say that Keith's answer is a self-depreciating thing, and that's why he said himself. Mm-hmm. I don't think it has anything to do with him realistically thinking about it. Realistically... I already gave my answer, so now I'll let Keith give his fake answer.
I think the show could do... yeah, I guess it is self-depreciating. I think the show could do without me. I think if I'm not here...
True.
But that's not the question. That's not the question.
Touché.
It's not what would Keith do, it's what would...
But
Brian.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm, and I think that's Brian. How everyone views the show.
WWPD.
And that is crazy.
I think if the show was on, it may be a good show. I'm not saying it wouldn't be a good show. I think it would feel weird if you weren't on the show. I think it would feel way weirder to the listeners if Chris wasn't on the show than if I wasn't on the show.
The listeners would be checking out my solo show on the dial at the same time.
It'd certainly be weird if
up
Chris...
the street at, like, Ear Us Talk with no H.
It would be weird Chris doing the Chris not doing the show and us doing it from his apartment.
From his house, yeah, that would be strange.
That'd be a little weird.
It'd be cooler.
Well, you guys...
may I answer
Chris,
this?
Yeah, go ahead, Bri. What would you do? What would Bri do?
Okay, here's the logic.
What would you do first, then the logic?
Oh, I kind of want to go the other way, if that's right.
Let him go.
You just answered his question, Chris. Chris, you just answered his question.
Yeah, he really did, with that face. That angry Tom Sizemore face.
Wow, I'd have to... Rob Giggs was pointing out, I'd have to stay in my bedroom while it's going on.
Rob would stand at the door. Don't come in
here. You know you
here.
Guys being loud in here.
I'm not sure if the show could survive Chris leaving it, but I don't think I'd want to be in the show if Chris if Keith left it. So I'm firing Chris.
Keith is the only one that likes you.
Maybe, but I don't think it's a show without Keith.
You know, I'm the only one except for
You just said the same thing two times both ways.
I don't think my thing is that I'm not because you're such like a powerful force in here, and you tend to drive everything that's going on, and none of us really kind of step up to the plate and drive. I'm not sure if this show would survive if you left.
Right, that's what I was saying too. Basically,
it's possible if you left that we would actually survive, and I'd actually want to be here to try to make it survive. If Keith left, I don't think I'd want to be here.
Basically, what Brian's saying is he doesn't
might
know
survive. He has a better chance if Keith leaves, but I don't.
He doesn't know if the show would survive, but he'd like to give it a try.
He doesn't want to do a show with me, but because he wants to do a show with you, he'll tolerate doing one with me.
It's not even. I mean, it's not that I don't want to do it with you. It's just I'm not so sure if this this show is funny without Keith. I don't think that. I don't think that it's.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all on that. Like I said, something.
Painful. There's no right answer to this. That's the worst part about these.
No.
That's
questions.
The best part.
That was the wrong answer.
Well, the score is 2, Chris, Keith, 1.
How did that happen when you asked 3 questions?
Well, those are A's and B. You know, those.
Wait,
are
so that one wasn't a real question?
No, it wasn't a real question. Right. Those are just the, you know, they're a side thought. They're a side thought.
Wow, so you just shot yourself in the foot there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's 2-1. Chris is winning.
Yeah, Rob Giggs points out in the chat room, someone's getting fired today.
Hopefully.
It was a question. It was just that we both got it wrong.
Well, you got the part of B right. He got
Chris called it.
Chris called it with him saying...
I said me, but he's saying that it wasn't a real question.
Oh, okay. Whatever. Go ahead.
He wants you to win.
It's Fred's game.
No, it's
Fred's game.
Fred, if you could have one person win this game, who would it be?
Keith could come back and tie it right here. Now, if Brian... got Carrie pregnant, his 3-year-old girlfriend. He's been living with her for 2 years.
Girlfriend's 3 years old.
Wow, he just turned his head and he's so upset right now because this was not a question he thought was going on the air.
Would he have the kid? Would he abort the child? Or would he have the kid but resent the fact that he had it? Resent the family.
We got to be careful with this.
Wow.
Because now we're taking someone else's...
What would Brian's girlfriend do? It's WWBD.
I would have instantly said abort. But now I'm saying had it and resent it, and I'm going to the bathroom.
What would Brian specifically do? See, I don't know enough about what his girlfriend would want to do, and I think he would take that into consideration. But forgetting about that, since I don't know, I would have to say, maybe, baby.
Wait a minute.
It's a maybe, baby. It's not. It's playing with those other pre-kids that we mentioned in the past.
So he's aborting it, or is he having it?
Yeah, he's aborting it.
And what did Chris say?
He's having it, but resenting the family. Keith, you were right. Brian is aborting the baby. That means there is a tie. Now, Brian.
Now, wait a second. I gotta put the brakes on this.
Brian, you were evil. On.
Let him go.
You are right.
All right, he's done.
Wait, from the other room, I heard that means there's a tie. What was the correct answer?
Abort. He would abort the baby. And so Keith said abort, and that's a 2-2 tie.
And wait a second.
Wait, I said abort.
You said he's gonna have it and resent. You said before you left. Do you not remember what you said 10 seconds ago? You said he was going to have the kid and resolve.
Oh, you know what? I said that I would have said abort, but then I thought about it. Yeah, okay, you're right.
Okay, let me put it this way. You put words in my mouth, Freddie. That's not the answer that I gave.
Of course, this is a radio show. You said, I said if it was up to you, you would...
I asked you if you would rather abort a baby or eat chocolate. You said abort a baby, so...
You are putting words into my mouth, and I think you're suggesting that they're right on the answer is incorrect.
Well, listen, the answer is correct on what would you do? You did not,
Brian,
we did not bring up the
wait, slow down. Allow me to rein you lunatics in for a second here, Brian. What is the real answer to the question?
The real answer to the question is, I would be pretty aggressive with my request or advice to get an abortion.
Thank you. Thank you.
But I would let her make the choice and live with whatever consequences she decides.
But this is what would Brian do? Now, what would Brian do?
I was in the middle of talking to my friend Brian, who wants to fire me from the show. So allow me to talk to him.
If it were my ovaries, I would be aborting my child. Because I just do not want a child ever.
But because you're a human being that has a reasoning and sense and a brain, you're pro-choice and you're leaving it to her.
Absolutely. It's her. It's not, and not, it's not just politically, but actually emotionally. It's her. She can. Yes. She is able to choose. And I would support her with that choice.
But her tongue has been removed and her ability to communicate has been removed. It is your decision.
Well, I mean, she can't communicate and tell me what she wants.
Correct.
Exactly. If it like I said, it's my choice. You if I'm the one making the choice.
You having sex with her has damaged her to the point that she is now a vegetable.
She's a vegetable?
But she can make babies for you.
She's getting an abortion.
It's tie game.
Keith gets a tie.
You are evil. Oh, Jesus would not do that.
Well, for the record, there's nothing evil about using abortion as a fine choice of birth control. In my mind, I think it's terrific. There's nothing wrong with it. What is it better to bring an unwanted child into the world or do the sensible thing and eliminate something while it's a glob of nothingness? That's just my little political statement for the show.
And I agree.
By the way, this commercial has been brought to you by the Catholic Church.
And I agree, but I just want to point out also what Rob Giggs said, which was... Wow, Chris has that drunk slur going on. Is it 1:30 already?
No, 1:40. I'm wasted.
So now we got a tiebreaker question, and I think the tiebreaker question, maybe somebody should just ask a question to Brian.
There's no more? You didn't ask me anymore?
That's it. I just asked you
four. You decided to ask an even number of questions, you dumbass.
That's what I tried to communicate to him, actually.
Oh, my God. I am so firing Fred from this show. not theoretically.
Seriously,
he's gone.
Vanessa before him. Vanessa before him. He came up with an even
That's
number.
A good point. I even warned him about that, actually. I told him, making sure it's not an even number.
There's another one.
I know.
You know what? That other one?
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
You don't remember?
The one you got right and I got wrong?
You told me one that you didn't tell me what his answer would be, but there was definitely another question.
If you guys are talking in code and it's even worse than the last question, I don't think I'm going to answer it.
About him going out on...
about...
Blah, blah, blah.
If you guys are
cheating,
talking in code...
Finding out about cheating... Yes. And,
if you guys
and
are talking in code on the air, it's even worse.
Yeah. This is just going to end in a tie with this one, but go ahead.
If Brian found out his girl was going out to dinner with a guy, and he thought there was something behind it, more than just dinner, what do you think he would do? Do you think he would...
abort the baby. He would abort it.
If he thought his girl was cheating, do you think he would approach her honestly and ask her the situation, what was going on? Do you think he would break up with her, or do you think he would be fine with it?
He would break up with her.
Give me the choices again.
Break up with her, talk to her about it, but be a little PO'd, or be fine with it.
He would absolutely break up with her. Sorry, I would love to go for the win, but
right.
I don't want to just throw the game.
Actually, he said he would cut off somebody's head and then break up.
Do you know what? You did tell me the answer. That's right.
Brian?
He didn't present the question in that manner. It's a different answer.
Brian, let's stop being crazy. This is just stupid at this point.
He said, if you found out your girlfriend was cheating on you, what do you do?
Well, what do you do?
But if he was trying to paint it into the situation closer to like what Keith was experiencing
right.
last week, if I thought that she was cheating on her, what do I do?
So what do you do?
I'd go to the restaurant and prove to myself that in fact she was cheating on me, and yeah, I'd break up with her.
I think that this was a big conversation this week, by the way, which I love. You have to go to our the Heroes Talk forum, heroestalk.com. Go to the forum. There's
heroestalk.com/forum.
Bunches of brilliant things. there's a lot of stuff. Rob Giggs says Brian would freeze her like Walt Disney. So
and yell at her frozen body every day. Bad girl. Bad girl.
I'm going to crack this hand off.
Well, it's still tied. Do you guys have a question to ask Brian? Maybe with the tiebreaker? Just something off the cuff? Anything you guys want Brian to answer?
Here's the question. Brian?
Give him multiple choice, too.
No. All right, go ahead.
There's a pit of lava.
That's a statement.
True. You have to drop someone in it. I'm trying to think who the two are. I was going to say me or Keith, but we did that already.
Well, give him choices. Give him a... Give.
No, that's a different question. Kicking you off the show is not killing you.
Me or Keith?
Who do I kill?
Well, you guys
got to
pick first. No, you guys got to pick first.
I got to kill one of you. I'm killing one of you.
Keith and Chris, who do you think he kills?
I don't see how he's not killing Chris. I think a little part of him dreams about dumping Chris.
No, but Chris
anyway.
Has a kid. You don't have the kid. You don't have the family. I'm thinking he kills you, Keith.
Yeah, Brian's already proven that kids aren't don't tug at his sympathy strings.
I don't know. They might. I'm thinking he's killing Keith. What do you think, Chris?
Although Brian did say that's a different question, kind
can
of
I write
suggesting
my,
the answer
can I write
different.
My answer down I so it's not too influence?
I think you both should write your answers down and see what he picks.
By the way, you didn't talk on microphone. You're telling Fred he forgot a question.
I did, but this might be better. If this is a tie, I'll ask that question next.
Should have asked it before. There's a punchline in it.
All right, they're writing down their answers. Who would Brian kill? Who would Brian throw in a volcano? Chris?
By the way, a volcano that has buses driving through it. So we'll get hit by a bus before we hit the lava.
Wow. Those are some pretty hefty buses.
Was that a Brian. Fat joke?
Brian, who are you killing?
By the way, Rob Giggs points out, I think I killed Chris in a dream already. From Brian's standpoint, of course.
As much as I might take a little bit of pleasure in killing Chris, I'd have to kill Keith. I'm sorry. Chris has got a child to support.
Baby Sydney? What about baby Sydney?
Baby Sydney's going to have to learn to live. He's going to have to learn to live with your wife on her own. I think they'll get her own.
What'd you guys write down?
Keith, what was your
answer?
Sydney. I wrote Keith because of my daughter. He hates me, but not my daughter.
It's a tie. Okay, so
think,
here's the final tiebreaker.
I think Chris
got
it a little more right, if that's possible.
Here's the tiebreaker question. Brian has to have sex with one of our girls. My girl, Keith's girl, or Chris's girl?
Wow.
Who does he have sex with first? Does he have sex with Keith's wife, my wife, or Chris's wife?
No disrespect to any of you guys. I think my wife is the hottest of the three, so I think that would make him want to bang her from a purely physical sense more.
I think your wife's the hottest, too. That's why I want to bang her.
But I think that Keith's wife is more personality-wise.
Are you calling my wife ugly, you son of a bitch?
No, is more personality-wise someone
Why wasn't my wife mentioned, even in the description?
Because, to be quite honest...
He doesn't like jug bands.
You guys live in a sequestered little jug world. And you're away from all of us.
Sequestered Little Jug World is actually the name of the new album by the three of them.
So I thought that was a new movie by...
Ang Lee?
Yeah, perfect. I was going to say the guy who did Kids. I couldn't think of his name.
So, Chris, what is your answer? Is it Keith's wife? Or my wife.
I'm gonna think Brian wise and well, you know what? Let me get my answer first, and then we give our answers, I'll explain.
This is
I don't want to
here's
this
the
this
thing.
Is tiebreaker for you guys.
I think reasonably speaking, if he had to pick the three, he'd bang my wife because he'd like to have sex with her more. Mm-hmm. I think if he had to get into a relationship, but I'm just talking. Mm-hmm. He would get into a relationship with Keith's wife more. But for the show, because he thinks it would bother you the least to say it on the air, I think he would say your wife.
Okay.
So I'm torn as to what he actually... What would Brian do versus what would Brian say he would do?
Mm-hmm. Well, you're too wrapped up in that whole what would Brian
It's a what would Brian do. Let me just...
I think he would bang Fred's wife, mostly because he knows her the least. And I think... Brian would think that.
Rob Giggs points out, thank God you guys haven't met my wife yet.
Can I bang Vanessa's wife? Is that part?
I think Brian would think that it would be, if it was like some random sexual thing, he would like it to be with the person he knows the least. That's how I think.
So
I
you're Keith is saying
I'd bang wife. All your wives though, so
I only have one, Keith.
For the show, how about we all just have sex with each other's girls? I mean, we're doing it as a bit.
Could we tape it?
Keith, Chris, what do you say? Keith is going my wife. Where are you going, Keith?
To your brother, by the way, Fred, in the chat room. Chaz says he'd bang all our wives and their friends.
Chris's decision.
I believe the correct answer is that he would bang my wife, but I believe he didn't tell you that.
Okay, so what did he tell me?
It's irrelevant.
No.
I'm saying my wife.
You're going to say your wife?
I'm saying my wife.
Wow, you are both wrong. Brian said he would bang Keith's wife. When I asked him if he would bang my wife, he said, I don't even remember what your wife looks like.
I honestly couldn't pick her out of a lineup. Like, I really don't know what she looks like.
Allow me to interrupt you to say, hot.
Bro, if you bang
that's
my
what I
hot.
Hear. That's what they keep saying, but I have no
dude,
idea.
Brian. Dude, no. Hot.
Brian, if you bang my wife, you'd better go shopping with her, too, so I have some free time.
I'm telling you.
Here's...
If we're talking on a scale of hot to hot, hot.
That's pretty hot. That is pretty damn hot.
Well, so he told you while talking to you. See, yes. And I think that the fact that he was talking to you influenced it.
It didn't. I really don't know what she... I met her once and I couldn't pick her out of a lineup. I have a real issue thinking about your wife, Chris... Any kind of, in all your wives, really, to a certain point. And let's be clear, by the way, I'm not having sex with any of your wives. Not that they'd even like come
no
close
kidding.
To let
oh,
me.
Oh, my wife would have sex with you. She'd have sex with
but
all
I love
you.
My, but I love my girlfriend, and I'm not going to cheat on her. And that's just
oh,
kind of
but
what,
it's not a matter of that.
That's always that we always say that because we're such wusses. But
gun
I think that's accepted.
Gun to my head. I don't know your wife from Adam, so I'm not having
so
sex with her.
So you'd bang
Fred.
A guy named Adam before you would bang his
if
wife.
If I knew
oh,
Adam,
Brian.
I might think about it.
Bro, come here.
Your wife, Chris,
come
is...
Come here, big
bro. It's not like we're close friends by any stretch of the imagination, but she's got, like... to me, she's got, like, that sort of, like, sister or sort of family kind of feeling. Like,
if any sort of dude doesn't want to bang his sister, he's so gay. Wait, did I say that on the air?
By the way, New Church of Man Love song, speaking of that, is on the MySpace page.
And Keith's wife is I get along with her a lot, and she's closest to my type.
The Dazzler, Chaz B. Dazzler, points out, if any of your wives were not with us, who on the show do you think they would be with?
Ooh.
Great, great, great question.
Aren't they pretty much all with Freddie?
Great, great, great question to end the show.
I think my wife would be with Brian.
Jesus.
My wife really digs Brian a lot. Like
we,
not like
are we just
she
saying,
has a crush
just,
on him.
Are we just answering?
I dig your wife a lot.
Are she we does, just answering?
Yeah, go ahead.
For our own girl, or are we answering for everybody?
Okay, we'll answer for everybody.
I'm asking. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know Fred's wife well, and I don't know. Didn't we do this question already? This sounds very familiar.
It's part of the game show that we had once, wasn't it?
It definitely was.
Did we ask them directly?
Something like that, yeah.
Do we ask them directly today?
Call them up again and make it happen. They actually were on the phone, and they already answered this question. Before.
Call my house.
I swear.
Call my house. Wait for Fred to come back. We can go a little over today, right?
No, because the Indigo Chick kitchen's coming
the
on.
Indigo Chick. Which one? There's two of them.
Should I call the secret line that she gave me? Or
Spickle pointed it out. Well, I'm shocked that any of you effers even have wives. You're right there, buddy. You're totally right. Yeah, honestly, look at the picture of us right now. Is there anything more unattractive than the picture going on in the Ustream room right now? Like, I honestly look like a blob.
Dude, I wear an orange tank top over my blob.
So that was what would Brian do?
We're gonna
we're
ending
the show with calling our wives, seeing which one of the show they want to bang. Okay, right. I think we said this. You know what? Not even just which one of the show. If you had to be with this one, would you? Let's make it not just pick one. Could you be with everyone?
Oh, wait, so how do you want? Wait, how do you want to pose the question again?
Can you be with everyone
on the show?
Not, hey, if you were to pick one of the other three. If you had to, could you be with Keith? If you had to, could you be with Brian? Okay. If you had to, could you be with Chris?
Okay, who's going first? Chris?
Yeah, you can call my wife.
Can
Hold
I?
On, I'm going to yell out the room, tell her to answer the phone.
Joy, answer the phone.
Be married to, we're talking about, right?
No, bang.
Oh, well, that's a different question.
Both of them. You don't have my house number?
Correct.
Call mine first.
If you had to be with one of the people from the show, who would it be?
Is that Yeah, I think that's the better way to phrase it. The other way is kind of silly.
That's the better way to phrase it.
Brian, I sent you my number.
One other guy. If you had to be with one other person on the show and it's
dating?
Just be with, however they perceive be with. Having sexual relations.
Yeah, I think dating. I think dating.
Dating?
Yeah.
Because sex is good.
Because I don't even think our wives want to have sex with us, so
no,
forget about it.
No, that's true.
Hey.
Hey.
You're on the show.
Yeah, I figured as much.
We're having a crazy conversation about what your girl would do, or who your girl could be with and not be with, and we're talking about each other. Okay.
What?
I know, we're idiots.
All right,
it's a surprise.
Can I jump in here?
No, I like
it. You translate that, Keith?
Chris's wife. basically, what Chris wants to know is if you, for whatever reasons, if you had to date one of the other three of us, that's not him.
No, that's not what
we
we're doing.
Just established already that it was going to be that.
No, we didn't.
She's already sick of our radio.
No,
show.
We didn't. We said
three of us did. Sorry.
No, but that's not what we just said. We just said. If you had to be... Joy.
Yes.
If I was dead, obviously, because that's the only way it could be happening because I'm so hot. If I was dead, would you be able to date Fred?
No.
Joy, if I was dead, would you be able to date Keith?
I wouldn't date anybody. Any of you three. I wouldn't.
What about me, though?
You're dead, though.
Would you date dead me?
Wishful thinking.
No.
I thought the under... It's because the camera's not there.
I don't know what you're
there.
Looking to get out of this conversation.
You're looking to get out?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Okay. The way that we just established the conversation was we said, would you be with any of the three?
But then, as Fred pointed out, it's a better question, which one? And we all
which
said,
would
okay.
you rather? Because if we do die, of course our wives aren't going to date someone close to them.
All right, like, call mine next. Let's each ask them our own question. How's that?
Should I call my wife?
Let's ask them whatever we want. No, don't call your wife
again.
Should
I call again. My wife again?
Yeah. No, you probably shouldn't. Yeah. She's already mad enough.
It's the ambush partner game.
And that's when we did ask this question, right?
Yes.
Then why are we doing the same bit?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Well, we started it already. So, all right. Go so ahead. You want to just end it?
Go ahead. Do it.
We go on?
Hey, baby.
We'll call him your mom, Chris, to find out who...
Hey, baby, you
Cock.
Just... Hey, baby, you just listened to Pearl Jam. And, Bob, how's your mother?
Message after the tone.
Hey, baby, pick up. It's the radio. It's the radio show, baby. Pick up. I need to talk to you. I need to ask you a question. Live on the air. HearUsTalk.com.
Baby Sydney.
Everybody in my house. HearUsTalk.com.
Want to call our cell phone instead?
Sure. Ugh. This is a great bit. This is a really great bit. All right, hang up.
Keith, another disappointment?
Keith, if you had a choice of killing me or this bit, what would you choose?
The bit.
But I'm behind the bit.
This was such a great show, and I don't know what happened now. I hate the show now for this.
5 minutes.
What am I asking my wife?
Whatever you want.
Can I just ask instead?
How much does it cost for her?
Nikki, do you want to have sex with me? I'm just thinking, me and you, sex.
Let's ask her something good.
Hello?
Hey, Nikki, it's Fred. I'm on the radio.
Yeah. What,
how's your life?
Hey, baby, how you doing?
Baby, who do you hate most on the radio show?
By the way, you don't do your hair when you're sitting at home? You look a little weird.
Nikki, who do you hate the worst on the radio show? Be honest.
I'm sorry, what?
Who do you hate the most on the radio show?
Don't hate anybody.
Thank you.
But you have to pick one of the four.
You have to pick one.
If you say hate?
Like, if
dislike.
You had to choose for one to die, like it's Sophie's choice, one person has to die on the radio show, who is it?
I don't know.
Just pick somebody. One person has to die.
I thought she was about to hang up.
Hello?
She did hang up.
Wow. I love that you guys just got yourselves in so much trouble with your wives.
Oh, I guarantee I'm not in any sort of trouble.
I'm not in any trouble.
So you're in the most trouble.
We've got an incoming call. Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hello.
Is this my wife?
Is this Brian?
This is Brian from Best in Show Radio. Who am I speaking with?
Eileen.
Hey, Eileen. How you doing?
Hey, guys. My wife called the show. Look at that. So, all right.
It's disturbing me. We were laying on the couch together.
Who?
Me and baby Sydney.
Oh, really? All right, so I have a question. Yes. I have a question. Would you, fidelity and all that aside, would you have sex with Fred?
No.
Ew.
Would you have sex with Chris?
No.
Would you have sex with Brian?
Maybe if we weren't married.
Yes. Oh, baby.
She loves Brian, I'm telling you. Would you have sex? Would you have sex with me later?
No.
Yeah, I knew the answer to that one already. By the way, you're lying about Chris and Fred, but I'll
why?
Because I know you would. Why wouldn't you?
Why are you crazy?
What? Look at them, honestly. What
look
if you
at
could?
Them?
What if it was you and Fred and Chris together?
Wait. First of all, Fred like sweats a lot, right?
Well, he has sweat stains, but you know
it's
who doesn't?
Lubricant. Yeah. It's lubricant.
And Chris is like really big and.
He's too big.
Jello-y.
He's too manly. Yeah, I know. Have you ever seen your husband though?
No, but like he has like a wider body, like his fat is like it's like a waterbed almost. So if he like got on me, he'd
cushion
kill
it.
Me.
All right, so what if
I could sit on the bottom?
Seriously, what if you got on top?
I'm
of
not
Chris?
Getting on top of that.
Why? It's like a ride. It would be like
God.
A fun water ride.
That
you're such She's a liar. You're top. Such a liar.
What? Are you insane? What? Why do you think that I would have sex with these two people?
Oh, but Brian, it's a given.
Yeah, thanks, baby. I'll be over later.
Why do you think I would have sex with him? Brian, read to me. Read to me. Let's do it.
Okay. All right.
It's very sweet.
You're released.
What
Thank
is
you.
That laughing?
It's the radio show. Go back to
what
baby
is
Sydney.
Laughing, though?
It's the shame of our parents listening to us, wondering what's happened to our lives.
I'll talk to you later. Would you have sex? Would you, Eileen, would you have sex with Jimmy Spickle?
With what?
He is really, really good looking, pierced and hung.
Who is this?
Pierced and hung.
Not in that order.
No, forget it, but don't worry about it. I'll talk to you later.
All right.
What about Germ Freak?
What?
Just
I'm
hang
hungry.
Up. I think she would have sex with DJ New Style, though, just for the record.
Well, I won't even ask that. That's obvious.
All right, thanks.
Why
I'll talk to you later.
Why would I? What do you
just
think
cut
I would?
I'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, fine, bye.
Bye, baby.
She doesn't hang up, that's why. She's just relaxing on a phone conversation.
She's the best.
She's also lying.
Let's fire
She's
Brian.
Told me in the past that she would have sex with both of you. She, I know she has this little thing where she likes to make fun of Chris for being fat, but like...
Let's fire Brian and hire your wife. She's so much better on the radio.
Who's on the air? Hottest of all the stupid lines of American history. On Best in Show, who's this? You gonna answer?
She's not gonna answer this one.
Oh, you're calling your girl. Hello?
The girl whose baby you would abort?
Please don't do that. Please don't do that. There's still a chance that I'm not going to be in a fight for the next 3 weeks. Still a chance.
That was funny, though.
Baby. By the way, I can't believe Ed McGrath has a problem with the fact that I said that
sorry,
something
was
wrong.
Sorry, she's not answering.
You can't leave a message? You mention your name or number on the air? Yeah.
Well, Bri, good luck with that when you get home.
Thanks for calling. My social security number is... I don't know why she does that. I need my...
Rob Giggs is asking in the chat room, why'd you call my number at my house, Brian? All right, so does anyone have outro music?
Yeah, I have the outro music.
Kelly Kapowski?
No, the song that Keith cried to, we're going to play.
Oh, Led Zeppelin. Thank you. Played by my neighbor.
Vamp, guys. I need to find my thing.
That song was almost my wedding song, Thank You, by Led Zeppelin. Oh. Almost.
My iPod was under my foot. That's where it was.
Go figure, Keith.
What was almost your wedding song? What were you going to play in
Thank
your wedding?
Thank You by Led Zeppelin was going to be our
Did you have a
song.
Wedding song?
Yeah, wedding song was, I don't know, something by the Beatles, but it was acoustic. An acoustic something by the Beatles.
Song by the Beatles?
Yeah.
They were there?
Yes, they were all there.
My wife and I always wanted to have a wedding song, but it was going to be Absolute Beginners by David Bowie. Okay, I know, but...
Well, maybe shove a second chance at Brian.
The courthouse doesn't have a jukebox, so we couldn't have a wedding song. She will have a second chance, Brian, you're right. Who would you have sex with, Fred, of all of us?
Of all you guys?
Yeah.
Definitely Brian.
Yeah, I would too.
He looks like he's the most wild in bed.
Oh, Brian would be awful.
I am so uptight.
He would want there to be alcohol everywhere, without question. The easiest one in this room to have sex with would be Fred, because he's handsome and hairless.
Hey,
and hairless? Yeah. What about the sweat?
Oh, lubricant. I'll take Keith then. I'll take Keith, soft and supple.
Okay, so
put the camera on. Everybody, thanks for listening to Best in Show. BestinShowRadio.com here on Heroes Talk, thing you do with your ears, and the place to be every week here, Fantasy Cavalcade, 11 a.m.
Just talk over it.
I did. Have you been there? Just continue to do so. DJ Newstyle shows next.
Oh, yeah, I bet he doesn't know. Prepare.
No, he is next on Tuesday at 9 p.m. Next. There's nothing else happening here until then. Thanks to all of you for checking us out. Thanks everybody for calling in. Thanks to Bricks Avalon for being nice in the chat room. Thanks to our wives for not being truthful on the air. Thanks to Brian for sabotaging his own career on our show today.
Bricks Avalon, you're the man.
Again? She asked for nothing. Cocky Sock, steamroller, roll over your face. We'll see you guys on the radio next week. If you don't, then you will burn. You go through changes, it may seem strange. Is this what you're put here for? You think you're happy and you're all happy, that's what you're happy for. There's a man who can't decide if he should fight for what his father thinks is right. There are people wearing frowns who'll screw you up, but they would rather screw you down. At my request I ask for nothing, you get nothing in return. If you're nice, you bring me water. If you're not, then I will
And for everyone who thinks that life is just a game, do you like the part you're playing?
It's just kind of sad that
I'll see your picture.
Poor Arthur Lee never got the recognition he needed, and he it's died, and it's just
same
sad.
Old frame. Times that I've been given such a little while, and the things